It's time for TWiT this week in Tech. Wow, do we have a fun show for you. Lauren Hawkinson joins Alex Wilhelm and Liberty Madison, a brand new member of the TWiT panel. Yeah, it's the millennial edition, and we'll talk about everything from Apple to Google to Facebook to selfies. TWiT is next.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for This Week in Tech is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com. This is TWiT, This Week in Tech, episode 541, recorded Sunday, December 20th, 2015. Hashtag love thy selfie. This Week in Tech is brought to you by FreshBooks, the super simple cloud accounting software that's giving thousands of freelancers and small businesses the tools to save time billing and get paid faster. Try it free at FreshBooks.com/TWiT. And by Stamps.com. Start using your time more effectively with Stamps.com. Use Stamps.com to buy and print real U.S. postage the instant you need it right from your desk. For our special offer, go to Stamps.com now. Click on the microphone and enter TWiT. And by Audible.com. Sign up for the Platinum Plan and get 2 free books. Go to audible.com/TWiT2. Don't forget to follow Audible on Twitter. User ID audible_com. And by Gazelle, the online marketplace for buying and selling used gadgets. Shop from a variety of certified pre-owned electronics or trade one in for cash. Give new life to a used device at gazelle.com today. It's time for TWiT This Week in Tech, show where we cover the latest tech news. This is the millennial edition. I don't know if we did that on purpose. I think we did. Because everybody here is young, except for moi.
Mm.
Alex, you're the old man of the group.
At 26, if that's true, then I'm going to find a nice bridge on the way home and fling my carcass off of it. But
I'm more than twice your age.
And you're twice as cool.
No.
Well,
although Lauren Hawkinson says you're an old man in a young man's body.
Yeah.
I don't endorse that comment. That's her personal conjecture.
Lauren is with The Next Web. Nice to have you. Hi. Alex was at TechCrunch. Where are you going?
I'm still TechCrunch to the end of the year, so I'm not dead
not
yet.
Much longer.
I want to go for a walk. I'm joining a company called Mattermark. Mattermark.com, if you want to look it up. They do a lot of data on private startups, and I'm going to join as their editor-in-chief, and I'm going to be doing a lot of analysis and research.
You're going to be an analyst.
Yeah, but in a journalistic capacity. So my job is to do a lot of thinking and writing and that sort of stuff.
That sounds like a great gig.
Yeah, I'm really excited about it. Off the news cycle.
Normally we talk about, wouldn't that be nice? Not have to where's your 4 posts today?
Exactly.
Normally we think of analysts as working not for the public, but really for investors. And their mission is different. But are you going to be for investors, or are you going to be kind of a public face?
More of a public face. I'm definitely going to be writing for a general broad audience, and so I don't think I have any restrictions on what I can or can't do.
Nice.
So I think I can still come on the show. So.
Sounds like a great gig.
I'm very excited.
I'm really happy for you. Congratulations. Also with us, and this is her first time, and I'm really thrilled. In fact, I only met her last week, and she's only heard TWiT once, but I was so impressed. I said, you're coming back. Liberty Madison.
Thank you so much, Leo.
LibertyMadison.com, hashtag that tech girl.
That's me.
Hashtag that tech girl. And so nice to have you. You cover, it says here, the startup life for the millennial.
That's correct. And you're absolutely right. Last week was my first time actually seeing TWiT. And thank you so much for inviting me.
So this is a baptism by fire. Because
welcome.
Because it's an unusual roundtable, but I've already told you the ground rules, which is just inject yourself at any point, and if possible, let's not all talk at once. And that's about it, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I think you'll all have opinions about most of these stories. This is normally kind of a slow week, to be honest, as we get the run up to Christmas. There was a lot of news this week. Next week, I should just mention a programming note. We are going to do our traditional holiday gathering, and Paul and Storm will join us. Odocta, the Giz Whiz musical performance from the Dinaholics. You should enjoy them. And it's fun, and it's going to be kind of more comedy, less news, because really, 2 days after Christmas is
more comedy, no news.
No news.
It's pretty much no news. At all. News. But it's awesome.
It's a guarantee.
And then the following week will be our best of. And it's. I think it's too late now.
At this point, it's pretty locked. Although I suppose you could submit some last-minute things, because I do have a few more moments to pick, but we're almost there.
Twit.tv/best of for last-minute submissions. And of great note, this is Jason Howell's last time running the board for This Week in Tech. We've moved him upstairs to full-time hosting. He and Megan Maroney are going to host our new TNT, which will be at a new time. We're moving it from 10 in the morning to 4 in the afternoon Pacific, 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Eastern. That's right at midnight UTC. And the idea is that we want to capture all of the tech news of the day and have a show ready for you in the morning on your commute. So I think that's a good time.
I would agree.
Yeah.
Hangouts message from somewhere. I'm not really
Is that
sure.
you or me?
I think that might be you.
Well, I don't want people to hang out messaging me right now. That's for sure.
I'm making sure. Is my phone on? No, it's not.
No, it's me. It was loud enough that it's probably coming from my computer. So... anyway, thank you, Jason, for a really great... How long have you been doing this? 2 years?
Well, not even. I think it started... It was like September or October of last year. So, been...
A little more than a year.
Yeah, a little more than a year.
Replacing Chad Johnson, OMG Chad.
Right.
Yeah, but you know, nobody really lasts long in this because I'm a son of a gun.
But
you did a great job, and you're moving to All About Android. You'll continue to do. You'll do TN2. Actually, it's...
TNT. TNT is kind of folding into it. So, and, looking forward to it.
I'm looking forward to your daily take. Of course, you were for many years the producer and board on first Buzz Out Loud and then the original TNT. So you've always been a big contributor to our news operations.
I kind of have new tech news on a daily scale in my blood at this point with 10 years behind me. Now comes the hard part of stepping out from behind all of the technology and actually talking somewhat smartly about it.
It's going to be fun.
We'll see how it goes.
You know what?
I'm looking forward to it.
It is good. I think you're going to have a great time.
Thank you.
And we thank you for your work here.
Oh, absolutely.
We're promoting a guy into your position who's been around for a while. We found him in the chat room. He was effing done, and it still is effing done in the chat room, is Jason Kleanthis. He is moving into the role that you have, which is my regular producer and technical director. So welcome, Jason Kleanthis. It's going to be easy for me.
Yeah.
I called Elaine for about a year, so we've decided now that we should only have people with the same name running the board.
Jason's forever moving forward. I like that point.
That's the only thing that can happen. So bad old Congress. They snuck CISA into the appropriations bill and passed it. And you know what? It's going to become law. Regardless, so this was a bill that many of us tried to fight against. I thought it was a bad idea. The Electronic Frontier Foundation thought it was a bad idea. It's the Cybersecurity Information Sharing Act of 2015. And I think a lot of tech companies had mixed feelings about it.
Mixed to bad, I think, was the general gist. I mean, there's a lot of privacy concerns. There's too much legal indemnity for companies that share information with the government. And there were amendments made to CISA throughout the year. It didn't pass. And
a lot of those amendments, by the way, that would protect our privacy have been eliminated.
Exactly. So this is a worse version of the bill that's now been pushed through as part of a budget. It's kind of a disgrace, actually, in our
democracy. This is for those of you not in the U.S., this is how the American political system works. It's very common for little riders and things to sneak into bigger bills, earmarks, things like that. And this is not at all unusual. The problem is without this appropriations bill, the government would shut down.
Right, so you can't not pass it. Therefore, it's going to be in there. So now we're all sunk. And so all the work we did was moot.
And there is no, in the United States, ability to line item veto individual parts of a bill. You approve it or you disapprove it. The president will undoubtedly sign it. It's his bill, basically. It's his compromise bill. So along with Paul Ryan. So I think we're getting CISA. Now, the reason I say that tech companies might have had a mixed opinion about this, Facebook, Apple, Google all said, it's a terrible idea. But apparently Facebook behind the scenes was lobbying to pass it because it gets them off the hook. They are they can no longer be sued for giving up your private information.
I find that to be too much wiggle room for the corporations. Yeah. I think it's too broad.
Well, that's bad news. There is no liability if and by the way, there doesn't have to be a warrant. They can just say, hey, you know, this guy, Alex Wilhelm, he's been a pain in the butt. So would you go arrest him? And they can. And even if they arrested you and it was false pretenses and you sued the government and everything, you can't sue the government, you can't sue this company.
Well, that would have been true before, but now I couldn't sue Facebook as part of the bargain.
Right.
But I just find it really sad that we worked on this in Congress and in the media and public sphere for a couple years now.
It's kind of shocking.
And instead of that, all that stuff we did to try to make it better, add our privacy protections, we're passing it in this really, really disgraceful way. Yeah. I mean, this is Congress at its worst, which is saying a lot, I know. It's a big statement because they're usually pretty far down the tree already, but this is really sad.
Yeah. So what do you think that means for the average American learning about this bill, possibly for the first time? How is this affecting their interaction with privacy? Because obviously everyone here knows what's going on and how is that going to affect them. But what is the average person, how's that going to affect their daily life?
Yeah, what do you tell mom about Facebook?
I mean, day to day, it's not. I mean, people are going to still be using Facebook and all of these different social media organizations the way that they've always done. The platform isn't going to change. People aren't going to suddenly decide to not do it because it affects their privacy. Only people who really care about it are really going to jump ship. And it's also important, I think, now looking forward to see how this is going to affect how platforms report on warrants for police search and for surveillance, because obviously as a part of transparency measures, they do release yearly reports. And I mean, the U.S. has always been far and away the country with the most warrants for search on these sorts of platforms, especially on Facebook. It's like far and away always the U.S. has the most. So I think that what we're going to see here is, you know, I think that it's going to mean that there are going to be more opportunities for the local law enforcement and for the government to tap into these sorts of stores of information.
Well, this isn't about local law enforcement. This is about broader cybersecurity, right? This is a much different kind of bill than bills used to bring local law enforcement information about us.
Well, yes and no, right? So you still have to have a law enforcement body enacted for CISA to be enforced.
Oh, certainly, but not local.
I mean, yes, local.
Police, your police department's going to work on
local.
Your cybersecurity?
Yes. Not just local.
Oh, dear heavens, come on.
No, because it's, that's the thing. It says it's cybersecurity, but it's really data sharing. So it means that any government organization, not even necessarily law enforcement, can go to Facebook and say, we'd like some information about this. The thing is, Facebook could still resist, but there's no legal incentive for them to resist. They're no longer liable if they hand it over. And this is my fear, is that they're just going to say, fine. You know, maybe not, because people are paying attention. That's why they do these transparency reports now, is because people were paying attention. Apple maybe will continue to fight that fight. Twitter's been very good about fighting that fight. But I also feel like they don't have the stick. They have the carrot, but not the stick to make them fight for our privacy. I think to answer your question, Liberty, it's really people should just – it just reinforces what we've said all along. If you put it on the internet, it's public.
That's
period.
Exactly. Do they have the opportunity to say, hey, we can make your information private? And are they – who was going to uphold them to that?
They don't.
Once
they
you
don't
put
have
it
to.
Out there, yeah. It's kind of public.
Right. So even if, you know, Facebook says, well, no, this is your private – and there are kind of – it's in there. If I'm going to be fair, we should mention that the San Bernardino shooters posted in private direct messages, private Facebook messages, their intent or at least their allegiance to ISIS – but that wasn't something the government could see. In fact, the New York Times wrote an article saying it's a shocking thing that our intelligence didn't know this, when in fact, their own internal ombudsman spanked them over this. Margaret Sullivan said that, no, that's shameful. That was bad reporting, because there was no way the government could have seen these private messages. Well, guess what? Now they can. I don't know.
Well, to a certain extent, I don't want to overblow how much information sharing is going to happen as part of CISA.
But it may not, you're saying.
Well, it's going to be a lot, but it's not going to be, I think, centered around individual communications. I think it's going to be more dumps regarding to cyber intrusion, cyber attacks, that sort of thing. So it's not just going to be like PRISM on steroids, going back to the NSA program, but instead more of a way just to get more data into the government without legal safe protections for us, because we can't sue.
Right.
That's the scary part. It's one facet of a larger, broken NatSec security position that we're in. It makes me sad. It's not this, you know, panopticon they're bringing down upon our social media profiles in the short term.
I think it definitely sets a precedent. So you can...
A negative precedent.
Of course.
Yeah.
Oh, going back to this point, though, the average American is politically active as like a box of cornflakes. So I don't really think
they're
going to do much. They just want to look at cat gifts on Facebook.
See, I worry, but you said the word data dump, and that worries me, because that means that law enforcement, Facebook can't get in trouble for doing this, whether they do it or not, I don't know. But they could say, well, you know, we noticed the word Islam used in 10,000 posts. Here they are. And giving that to the federal government with no risk for them. That could happen. I don't know if Facebook would do that, but that could happen, right?
That I, under my understanding, that could happen. I doubt that it would, given the cybersecurity focus of
let's
the bill.
Let's hope not.
But I, again, let's very much hope not. That would be a really sad turn of events.
Again, I think the lesson everybody should learn every time we hear about data breaches and now CISA is if you're putting it on the internet, you might assume that others might see this, including law enforcement.
I think that's the takeaway.
Yeah.
Thank heavens for encryption.
Don't Snapchat your crimes.
Well, we'll handle that later. That'll be another budget bill next year, right?
We'll ruin that, you know, Q2 16. It'll be fine.
Scary. And, you know, I have to say, probably terrorists have long known this. This is not news to bad guys. Don't post it on Facebook, right?
Oh, they found my Facebook. Dang it.
It's stupid.
Billy, what were you doing?
How many times have bad guys been caught because they posted pictures of them, you know, holding the money?
Like I said, don't Snapchat your crimes. That happens all the time.
Don't.
Can we get a bumper sticker for that? Just like hand them out at high school? So yes. Like,
I think this should we should add a sticker to Lauren Hawkinson's laptop here. It says, don't Snapchat that crime, bro.
Thank you, but no vacancy, as we can see. Sorry.
No,
I'll take it.
No, there's layers. You can go layers. You could have another layer.
Also, Lauren is far too cool for Snapchat, so.
No, you Snapchat.
By that, I'm really bad at it. I'll be honest. I'm like.
I brought you kids here because you're supposed to understand how Snapchat works.
With your hula hoops. I snap.
All right.
Yeah, your hula hoops and your skateboards and your snaps.
Young kids.
Please send your snaps to at Leo Laporte on Snapchat. Thank you.
Actually, this is a sure sign that Snapchat is over. I Snapchat. So that's a sure sign there's no Snapchat happening in the younger people. They'll find something where their dad isn't Snapchatting. What would you freak out if your mom Snapchatted you?
No, because it would probably be some kind of dark hallway and my mom being like, it's a Snap, look. You know, just not, it's there, but it's not
the
quite
Liberty
right.
Snapchatting right now. Yeah. Hashtag that tech girl.
Yeah. Nailing
Let's
it.
Get that trendy
there
on the tweets.
Go. Let's get it.
What does that mean, by the way? Why do you have a hashtag? I don't have a hashtag.
Why don't you have a hashtag? Let's talk about that. Let's
that's
switch
a good
the direction
point.
Of the show.
You should have
Why
a hashtag.
Why don't you have a hashtag?
Well, Lauren would be hashtag wee. Leo would be hashtag curmudgeon, and I don't know what I would
I'm
be.
Not a curmudgeon. You're a curmudgeon.
I am pleasant and happy like a warm sunrise.
You're
this
a cranky
is an open
cuss.
Door I can't walk into, so I'm going to safely remove myself from this conversation because right. I've got a list of hashtags that could really work for you.
Well, I have a hashtag because I was unfortunate enough to get at Liberty. You've got at Alex.
Oh, yeah. He paid for that. You know?
You've got that.
He bought at Alex.
$60.
That's amazing.
Like, it's not blood on proportion
I
here.
I should have just got my name. I just got
that would have been smart.
At Liberty Madison.
At Liberty would have been awesome.
I know.
Except that then ISIS would target you.
Yeah. I think they do now. Liberty Madison.
Liberty Madison.
Yeah. Okay.
I think people confuse you with Ashley Madison.
Exactly. Your
that has
been
happened
ruined.
So many times.
Has it?
It actually has. Ashley Madison, I get some of that traffic, so I'm appreciative
terrible.
For that. So thank you, everybody.
This is, and I asked you this when I met you. This is your real name.
Yes.
This is not some fanciful.
It's just, it happens to be a fantastic name.
Your parents have
name.
A great, brilliant. You know, I tell parents that. I say, if you're going to name your kid nowadays, you want to check the URL, make sure it's available.
Definitely.
Check the Twitter handle, register it. If it's so you need, if you're, you don't name a kid John Smith now. You have to name him Josephus, something, make it up. So that it's unique, because you need, don't you think?
Josephus Smithel Burger Nozzle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's it.
That's fine.
I think that's a trap. I don't know. But I come with a naturally SEO, unfriendly or friendly, depending on who you are.
Leo Laporte's pretty good.
I'm the only Lauren Hawkinson in the world.
Liberty Madison is awesome.
Well, you definitely have to, and I say if you're going to name a child, you have to check to see if other people have the URLs, like you said.
I agree.
If check the major sites, Instagram, Twitter, and if not.
Register.
If they already have that name, you gotta change that kid's name.
No. I got my.
You gotta
I got,
go a different direction. It's Instagram first.
When my kids were born, I got AbbyLaporte.com and HenryLaporte.com, and I registered it for 20 years. I figured if in 20 years they don't want it, well, yeah, you can. And if, I said, if 20 years they don't want it, well, then there you go.
No lie, I just actually talked to the CEO whose wife is actually due to give birth any day now, and he said, by the way. I have registered all of my baby's social properties already. Yes.
You
he's
should.
Like, he's like, Twitter handle, Instagram handle, Facebook.
There you go.
Website. And he was just like, well, you know, if it's awful and they don't want it, cool. But I already did the legwork for them.
Too
so
bad
you're
you
welcome.
Too bad you can't register hashtags. But you own that tech girl.
Yes. But some people actually spell out the word hashtag. In their handle.
That's your mom.
I've seen that.
That's your mom.
Has anyone called you pound sign that tech girl?
Well, you know, that would be the 40 plus crowd.
I see. Plus Leo.
Yeah. Pound sign that tech girl.
No, but every TV show has a hashtag and puts it in their lower thirds.
Yes.
And this is, by the way, the universally accepted gang sign for hashtags. Am I
and
right?
And Slack logo.
No?
I've never seen anyone do it in real life besides right now. So
don't
this
people
is
do
new.
That on Instagram and stuff? Am I doing that wrong? You wait a minute, like that? Are both fingers facing out?
Watch okay. the intern.
This looks like I'm getting.
Got it.
This looks like I don't want to get acid thrown in my eyes more than like I'm hashtagging. Hashtag.
Porque no los dos.
All right. I am not. My hashtag foo is not strong.
It's okay.
So wait. Back to the point, like 10 minutes ago, why do you have a hashtag?
Why don't you have a hashtag?
Exactly. That's, not I think that's the right answer.
That's not
the right answer.
The right answer.
She's because, right. Okay. And she just nailed you.
Yeah.
All right. All right.
You have, rebuke we're going to get you a hashtag.
What no, is a hashtag, though? Let's really get down to it. Because I, by the way, I happen to know the guy who invented them.
Yeah. Just wow.
Chris Messina.
Oh, sure.
He just topped everybody.
And right. Chris said, Chris proposed on Twitter... Probably 2008, probably around 2007, 2008. You know, we really ought to have some way of indicating that this is a topic and so that you can organize it. And really what a hashtag is a search term.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
So on Twitter, it has become that. When you click the hashtag, you actually do a search for all of that. But I think that came later. I think really that's the idea is this is a canned search.
Hashtag yeah. just really cultivates your conversation and lets you actually build the story and see who is involved in the story, who wants to talk with you and add their input without having to at you all the time. So
here is the official ASL hashtag sign. And it's kind of what we were talking about. So you have your front hand with the back of your fingers facing out. Your backhand with the back of your face facing in. So you're touching the insides of your fingers and you tap the backhand twice. Hashtag.
Hashtag.
Everybody? Hashtag. Hashtag that tech girl.
Hashtag.
Hashtag twit.
I hashtag twit already.
Hashtag Leo's hairdo. Yeah.
I think, though, I have to say that it's certainly a good marketing idea to have a hashtag. But really, the idea is it's supposed to be kind of organic, that hashtags emerge. You know, as a subject becomes a big subject. And it's actually interesting to watch the fight over what the official hashtag will be, you know?
Thing is, you can't own a hashtag. You just have to dominate.
That's kind of what I mean.
A hashtag.
You could say you're hashtag that tech girl, but it's really not up to you to decide. It's up to the community to say, no, she is that tech girl. And we've seen with different, Ferguson, Black Lives Matter, we've seen hashtags sure. emerge mm-hmm. and become accepted.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no question Black Lives Matter is there is no other hashtag. That's the mm-hmm. hashtag, right?
Yes.
Also, TCOT, which is popular among conservatives.
TCOT.
What is TCOT?
Top conservative on Twitter.
Yep.
Yes.
If you want to have a really fun time on Twitter that day, read that search.
Yeah.
It's a whole kettle of fish.
Wait a minute. I don't understand. So has somebody become every day a different day?
No. It's just the conversation on the tag.
It's an organic way that conservatives manage to stay in touch with other people around their
movement.
TCOT.
Yeah. All right, that's good.
Every party, every person, every conversation has their own hashtag.
And that's what you see when you go to the Twitter trends.
Don't tweet it, though. Search it, though. Don't tweet it.
Yeah, don't.
Oh, I just tweeted TCOT.
Oh, no.
That's not good.
This has been Twit.
He's like trying to tweet it. Like, don't do that.
Grandpa, don't tweet your hashtags.
You're jumping into the kettle of fish at that point.
I typed into the wrong thing. I wouldn't have tweeted it.
It's like typing a hashtag into Google.
I know. Have you ever done that, though, really?
Yeah, my dad...
hashtag adult diapers, and then you...
All the time.
No.
Yeah.
But my dad is really funny. He doesn't really understand Twitter, so he'll say to me, we were driving once, and he said, you know, Lauren, I search you on Google every once in a while when I want to keep up with you. And I said, oh, Daddy, that's really nice. He said, I came across your Twitter once. I don't know what the hell you're saying.
It sounds like you had a stroke. When you read people's Twitter, it sounds like gibberish. It's like because you only have so few characters and you have to hashtag. And it's a shorthand.
Yeah, Lauren, what do you mean area reporter finds donuts?
What do you mean?
Well, Dad, it's an old meme based on news reporting from the 1940s.
There's a cultural... Yeah. And that's why you young people are here, because there is it's fascinating to me, but there's a 20-something cultural basis that you guys come from. Things like this Zootype.
No, that's not us. That's just her.
That's just me.
That's definitely just her.
Well, who is that again?
This is Isabel.
Yeah. Isabel from what?
Isabel is from Animal Crossing.
Animal Crossing was one of the best-selling games.
Hmm. Yeah, please.
I think it's addictive, and also to your point of, you know, being in a younger demographic, I find myself actually saying hashtag.
Yeah.
Saying the word.
I feel like that's a bad thing.
And not just typing it.
No, I noticed when my daughter posts on Instagram, and I don't understand because that's a lot of typing. There'll be 10 hashtags in there. I see that
only
a lot.
Only 10. She stops at 10 hashtags?
Only 10.
Wow.
So you see people with tons of hashtags.
You got to hit the maximum 30, guys, if you're serious about Instagram. If you're serious about building your following.
And the thing about Instagram, unlike Twitter, you can't click a hashtag.
Oh, definitely you can.
Oh, you can on Instagram?
Yes. I have literally spent possibly 20 hours on Instagram searching hashtags.
Because Instagram won't let you click a link.
It's amazing.
Like if you put a link, okay, here's unicorn hair. Oh, yeah, you're right.
Yeah, and it'll go to all the unicorn hair photos.
And you search across the world for everyone who has unicorn hair.
Holy cow, who knew there was...
That's no one. Unicorns aren't real.
Is that a thing?
It's a thing.
It is.
So really, that's what hashtag means. It's a thing.
Hashtag, it's a thing.
Yeah.
Sorry, not sorry.
Hashtag sorry, not sorry.
Yeah, she's right.
So it's a thing, though, is kind of what you're saying with a hashtag. And that's what you should tell your dad. Yeah. Well, when you see things like that, it's a thing.
Yeah, I think I might just drop him like a primer on Kantian philosophy and just say, this will have all the answers.
This is phenomenal,
just
not
categorical imperative.
The categorical, yeah. Right. If this is Maslow's hierarchy of hashtags.
If you got that joke, please go outside.
You guys are too intellectual. Not only are you in with the kids, but you're talking about Kant and Maslow's hierarchy of needs.
Yeah.
Were you a philosophy major?
No.
No.
I wasn't.
You were?
Alex was.
Yeah.
What did Alex you major? Didn't have a real major.
Did you actually go to school together?
No.
Were you roommates?
No.
I feel like you knew each other well.
We've been friends for a long time. And okay. This was planned to have us both on at the same time, actually.
Because you know each other.
Yeah. To see what would happen.
Well, if I had known that, I'm sorry, Liberty, I would have brought your roommate on as well.
Thank you. Yeah. I appreciate that.
What did you study in school? Liberty, what did you study in school?
TV and film.
TV and film. See, she's prepared for this. What did you study?
I have 2 degrees in English and in journalism. Yeah, I got 2 degrees for the price of one.
Wow.
Yeah.
Master's in journalism?
No, not a master's.
2 BSs.
I have a Bachelor of Science in Journalism and a Bachelor of the Arts in English from Boston University.
Oh,
I graduated summa cum laude. It's a big deal.
Oh, shut up.
A master's in journalism is a master's in having debt you can't pay back. So I don't really recommend that for anybody.
I was a Chinese major, but I dropped out, so it doesn't count. Our show today, we're going to take a break. When we come back, the FAA drone registry is official, and you may get some bad news about that in a second. But first, a word from our sponsor, FreshBooks. If you're a freelancer or you've got a new business and you're the one that's sending out the invoices, you got to know about FreshBooks. It's the easiest way for freelancers and small businesses to save time billing, to get paid faster, to get the job done. No more rummaging through receipts to try to keep track of your expenses. You just use the FreshBooks app to take a picture of that receipt. It automatically filters into your invoice for expensing. In fact, one of the nice things FreshBooks is doing is something called requesting a deposit in FreshBooks, which means you can get paid up front to cover those expenses, so you don't have to cover costs out of pocket or wait till the end of a project to get paid. A lot of clients will do that. FreshBooks makes it easy. Makes it easy to create and send invoices, too, in minutes. And when you don't get paid on time, helps you track down and kind of, you know, nicely, gently nudge those customers who aren't paying you. FreshBooks is awesome. It lets you track your time, too, with their FreshBooks app. So if you get paid by hour, time and hours automatically put in there. They just announced a new card reader. This is really neat. You can easily accept credit cards. So you could do the FreshBooks invoice on your tablet, present the invoice in person, swipe their credit card. It also works with PINs, so they can insert the card into the reader. It's an EMV chip card enabled reader. This is the new standard in the U.S. I think this is so awesome. And it works right out of the box. You just open your invoice from the FreshBooks app, plug in the reader, dip the chip, swipe the stripe, hashtag, I just got paid. With all these features, you wonder why you didn't start with FreshBooks sooner, and the support is phenomenal. I've been with FreshBooks. I started using them 10 years ago. And they were a lifesaver for me, and I think you'll find them a lifesaver for you. Try it free for 30 days. Go to FreshBooks.com/twit. Don't forget to use This Week in Tech, or tell them This Week in Tech when they ask you, how'd you hear about us? We'd appreciate that. That shows your support for the show. Makes them happy and makes us happy. Start your 30-day free trial today. You'll be happy. FreshBooks.com/twit. Are you tweeting, hashtagging, Instagramming, Snapchatting?
Actually, all combined.
She's way more productive than me.
She's so productive.
Cookies.
Yeah.
Lauren's like, food break,
cookies.
Food break. My blood sugar is going down.
In my soup. FAA finally admits that the names and home addresses of drone owners will be publicly available. That's nice. So the FAA has decided that if you get a new drone above a certain weight, and it's not a very, I'll have to look up the weight, but you have to register it with the Federal Aviation Administration. That kind of makes sense because that way if there's a renegade drone, they can track it back to the owner.
There's a story of the drunk drone pilot in D.C. who flew his drone onto the White House lawn and passed out, woke up, went, I did what?
Yeah.
So that's pretty important.
Yeah.
But I think making people register drones in this way means people just won't do it, and it'll make a lot of criminals by accident. And so I wonder why the FAA thought this was the best way to approach policy in this area, because they've been really lagging on the policy front on drones for some time over the last year and a half. So I'm very unimpressed by this.
It took a little work, but John Golia, who writes for Forbes, tracked down and ultimately finally got the FAA to say, until the drone registry system is modified, the FAA will not release the names and addresses, but when it is modified to permit public searches of registration numbers, names and addresses will be revealed through those searches. That's true if you're a ham, an amateur radio operator, you're in the FCC database and your information is there and publicly searchable by name.
Is that good or is that just the way?
Well, I worry about privacy. It's kind of the way government, because in the past it wasn't an easy thing to do. I think you didn't have harassment, wasn't as big an issue. I don't know what it is, but I feel like nowadays, because of our concerns about privacy, this is something we don't want, right?
I agree with that entirely. Lauren, from the harassment side, what's your take?
So,
Side over here? Because I want to get over on this.
No, I just trust Lauren on this issue more than myself.
Lauren Hawkinson. No, I think what you're seeing here is that obviously when it comes to having a publicly searchable drone database, you can see why they did this, which is that there are at some point going to be regulations surrounding when and where you can fly your drone.
Yes.
And you have to have a searchable database. And people should, I think, they should be able to know who in their neighborhood has a drone.
Well, and the FAA has no police force, so it's got to be searchable because the FAA can't enforce it. Local police has to enforce it.
Exactly. So it could essentially be, if they wanted to, it could be in communication with law enforcement. And they could have, a database that's only accessible via whatever police searchable database. But at the end of the day, there are going to be regulations on drones. People are going to not be able to fly their drones certain
places. Do we need those?
Or on private properties.
We need some rules.
That's a great idea.
But the listing publicly or just the overall regulations?
But we need the regs, right?
No, overall.
Any unmanned aircraft weighing more than 250 grams, that's about half a pound, or less than 55 pounds, will have to be registered. There'll be a website where you'll go, you'll register. Probably when you buy a drone, there'll be a card in there that says, here's the address, go register this. Certainly there have been examples of drones getting in the way. In Los Angeles, there's a famous case of firefighters being unable to fight a wildfire with helicopters and planes because there were drones buzzing around and they didn't dare risk the pilot's health or life or safety by flying in there. And that allowed the wildfire to burn unchecked for 20 additional minutes. That's a problem. People are very worried. The FAA is very worried, although it hasn't happened yet, about drones interfering with commercial air traffic.
Yes.
And if you did, and it's true, I think if a jet airplane ingested a drone through its jets, it could cause havoc.
That would be the end of the engine, I presume.
Be the end of that engine.
Maybe if it's a microscopic drone, but anything larger than your fist would probably really cause some serious damage.
So I understand. So you think, Liberty, that you need to have a registry.
Well, definitely. They could have possibly contacted the drone owners and were able to solve that problem.
Yeah, immediately, right? Yeah, they'd know who it was as soon as they took the drone down. They'd say, okay, we got you.
What was the drone that actually, I don't know if it was Korea or China, but they build drones to catch other drones.
Tokyo Police.
They build a net.
Has a net.
And they just catch it and swoop it up. And that was their solution.
The drone net. Drone
did you see
cops.
The net?
I did not
we
see the
showed
net.
This last week.
You got to see the
week.
Net.
I got to see this. That's unbelievable.
It's amazing.
I don't know how.
I love
not practical.
That's amazing. I don't know how. Jones. What do we do? Get a net.
Get a net.
I don't know how practical it is, really.
It's great conversation. Definitely.
I feel like this is not.
Oh.
Probably okay. A long term.
It's like a large spider with a really weird web.
The group that is the hobbyist group for hobby flyers, the Academy of Model Aeronautics, said that they're exploring all legal and political means to stop the registry. Remember, we've had remote control aircraft forever without anything like this. And meanwhile, it's saying, and this might be a violation of the law, hold off registering. Hold off registering, says the AMA, if you're concerned about what data may be publicly available till we can get this resolved.
Is that civil disobedience?
Yes, that's exactly what that is.
I'm in favor of it then.
From drone owners.
Drone owners of the world, unite.
Unite. You have nothing to lose.
As long as it doesn't affect my selfie drone, I'm good.
Do you have a selfie drone?
You guys have not seen the selfie drone?
What? I feel like the lamest human alive during this show. What are you talking about?
So there's a drone that you can have following you
around. You don't
around.
Have one, but you know about it.
I don't have one.
Oh, it's the Nixie. You're talking about the
Nixie. I really want that.
The what?
But, I think we ordered photos. This.
But I don't want that. I'm ugly.
I think we ordered this. The idea is you have...
You can do this all day or you can have your own drone.
You wear something. You have either something in your pocket. You wear a wristwatch and it's homing in on that and it will fly above you. And take pictures of what you're doing. And if you're skiing down a slope, it will follow you down the slope.
Yeah. Does that fall under the weight limit? Do I have to register my selfie drone?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, and also provided that the place that you're trying to fly your selfie drone, it's legal.
Wait a minute. This is not it. This is a drone.
Is that a different one?
This is a wristwatch drone. You actually wear this on your wrist.
Make more selfie drones.
I picked the wrong one. That's the Nixie. This is the selfie drone. I don't know if this is real.
I love that the drone has no idea what to do with this right now.
Are drones a problem in your experience? Or is this overblown? We've had remote control aircraft for a while. Is it that it's so easy to fly that this is more of a problem? There certainly seem like a lot of drones around. They estimated that 700,000 drones will be gifted this Christmas.
I think that it also comes down to the fact that drones are more likely to have cameras attached to them.
Privacy.
And other recording devices. Yeah. And again, it's a privacy issue. It's if you are an average person, you are allowed to have a certain amount of personal privacy. And, you know, if you have a drone, you can sort of step out of those bounds because you're physically not on a property, but your drone can be on a property, and that comes with it its own legal ramifications. But I think that it's a complicated issue that will transcend just a registry and transcend just regulations. It's going to be a combination of them in order to make drones safe for people who don't fly drones and also safe for people who do fly drones.
How long do we have, like, skeet shooting but for drones?
I believe that's now.
Oh, in that case, I'm in big favor of drones. Buy one for everyone. I've got a shotgun in the backyard.
You know what? It's going to be a drone Christmas, and it's going to be a hoverboard Christmas. And what I don't want to see is drones and hoverboards combined.
A drone
board. That sounds
fun. Like, would that just be like a hoverboard with like a propeller on the front?
Hard pass.
Hard pass. Okay.
Hard pass. Don't let your kids hoverboard. Friends don't let friends hoverboard.
By the way, this is you missed the bet, TechCrunch, the next web. You missed the bet on Linkbait, how to wrap a hoverboard. For Christmas.
Is that on Mashable?
Sorry, none of my friends are losers, so I don't have to get them one.
So a small anecdote about hoverboards. If you go to Soma, which is a neighborhood in SF.
South of Market.
Yeah, where a bunch of 23-year-old tech bros live and work. You get run over by hoverboards all the time.
Really?
Those little Razor scooters and their stupid little one-wheelies. And I just want to punch them all in the
face.
Just
walk, guys. Just walk.
I mean, God gave you two legs and it's only four blocks. You know,
walking is an amazing form of
exercise.
Now, I say this as an owner of not one but two Segways. So that's really a bad idea.
I can't come back on the show now. That's that's it.
And I understand somebody in our household is getting a hoverboard for Christmas. So we're really...
Spoiler.
Yeah, spoiler alert.
Are you going to have a long talk about when to know when your hoverboard's on fire? Or does that come later?
How prevalent is that? Those are what do they call them? The
hoverboard.
Yeah, but there's a particular
Swagway.
Brand. Swagways.
What now?
Swagway. What is that?
Swagway?
Swagway is the most popular hoverboard brand, apparently, and it's the one that's bursting into flames. At least one did in New Jersey, and they were able to track it back. Swagway says, no, ours are safe and warrantied, and, you know, we stand behind them. And if you buy it from a warrantied, authorized dealer, you'll be fine.
The video is still going on, by the way, the packing of this hoverboard.
No, but
Mashable
seriously,
is amazing. Is an amazing engine of Linkbait.
It's called post-content.
Yeah. What does that mean?
It's this sort of thing. It's something you've literally created to have something to fill space, but it's not actually.
Well, it doesn't fill space. I bet it makes them a lot of money. Because what's the Google search?
For, I don't know.
You know, you just, how do I wrap a hoverboard? Don't you think that's going to be a huge Google search? In about one day? What the hell do I do with this?
I don't understand why people hate hoverboards. Yep, you're giving people scooters.
Number one,
you're giving people bikes. You're
why
giving
do you
people
hate hoverboards?
I don't hate hoverboards.
Why does Alex Wilhelm?
Why do you hate hoverboards?
They're not hoverboards. They're Segways with the handle broken off. Call them that. I'm fine with it.
Okay, not everyone calls them hoverboards, though.
What did we call them this entire episode?
That's because Leo likes the word hoverboard.
He's in charge.
I gave my son a hoverboard, and we're... giving another hoverboard for Christmas.
They're actually quite fun. They're quite fun to tool around on.
I haven't. Okay. Can you ride one? Is it easy to ride?
We had one in the office, yeah. And I figured out how to make it go, and then I ran over one of those cord protectors and fell right on my backside.
Yeah.
Very but publicly. You could do that on a bike. You could do that on a scooter.
You don't ride a bike in the office usually.
No, that would be, I think even for TechCrunch, that'd be too much.
I think the issue is that it is an imbalanced road privilege to effort ratio. Do you know what I mean? Like driving a car, you have to have a license for, yeah. So you have road privilege and all that. Biking is hard. It's a physical activity. You know, you walk, so you're using effort. If you are literally dragging yourself on a motorized wheeled apparatus, four blocks somewhere with no effort involved, and also running over people on the sidewalk, like poor Alex.
Very much
on
Alex.
The daily.
Are you saying it's a little?
Well, they buzz by me and they're dorky.
Is that the word you're? Yeah.
You said it on me.
You were affected.
No, I don't like
them.
That word at all. Okay. And yet, there are some things that it totally applies to. Riding around on a hoverboard.
You look like a goofus.
A goofus.
A goofus is a good word for this.
This is a family show. I'm trying to find ways to express myself without using profanity.
Can I say doofus?
Doofus is fine.
Okay.
Doofus or goofus. But you look silly. I mean, you're
standing
upright.
You look like a Schmendrick.
Thank you.
A Schmendrick.
I don't know what that means.
You guys. I got the oldest millennials in history. I feel like...
Hello, excuse me while I talk about Shakespeare and Kantian philosophy.
Schmendricks. Oh, my goodness. All right. Okay, so we have agreed at this point that everyone should have a hashtag, that selfie drones are a good idea?
Definitely.
Okay, and you don't have one yet, but you're going to get one.
I will have one
Do
after
have
the airing
stick?
Of this show. Of course.
Oh, I have a selfie Uh-oh. Stick, too, but I don't use it.
Listen to the sound of Alex clutching his own pearls in the wake of like, this
so
selfie stick problem.
The estimate is that thanks to selfies... The number of photos shot this year will exceed 1 trillion, a good many of them selfies.
Question for you, Leo.
Yeah.
How many photos do you take of yourself in a day?
I very few. I don't like selfies because they feel self-involved to me. So if you can, you just go to my Instagram feed. I'm Mr. Laporte on Instagram, MR_Laporte. And you'll see there are very few pictures of me. Because for some reason, I just feel like that's a little self-involved. How about you, Alex? Oh, look, he's taking a selfie right now. That's so sad.
I don't really know how to selfie. I don't know if I did it right.
There's one picture of me, two pictures of me, in three pictures of me in like 50 pictures.
How many pictures do you take in a day, just in general?
I take
Maybe not of yourself.
I take a lot of pictures, but not as many as you, I think.
How many do you think I've taken in a day?
I think you've taken more pictures of yourself in this show than I've taken all day.
Wow.
Did you guys see that? She's new.
I'm new and he's accurate.
There's no judgment here.
Oh, no. I estimate that I probably take not just selfies, but just photos in general. I can go upward towards 300 to 400 in a day.
A day?
Wow.
A day.
I don't see anything that cool ever.
You can make something that awesome. Like this mic, you can position it, get a filter on it, and get a couple of comments and likes. Throw some backstory on there.
Let me be honest here. There are some people on this panel that people want to see more pictures of, and there are some people on this panel that people want to see fewer pictures of. And I would say, you and me, Alex, fewer pictures.
Definitely fewer.
I would say Lauren and Liberty, more pictures. So if you're an attractive young woman, I think you then people give you a lot of props for selfies.
But they're not.
But
all
my experience
selfies.
Has been that that's not what people want of me. And
Leo.
By the way, I'm on camera all day, every day. I don't need any selfies.
Leo, are you saying you can't make it as an Instagram model?
No.
I think you can do anything you want to do.
I think we give them some tooth whitening gel and,
no,
and
you're
some
right.
Instagram tea.
No, you're right.
That's the Instagram model uniform.
No, you're right.
We give him that and he's winning.
Yep. Instagram tea?
Winning.
Instagram tea.
What
you
is this?
Seen that?
Oh, you see that everywhere.
You
what
see
is
it?
Everywhere.
That
tea mate.
You have
or something.
To have a teeth whitening
yeah.
and some hair peels.
People are selling stuff,
and some
basically.
Instagram tea. That's the Instagram model uniform.
What is the tea?
I am 85 years old.
It's a slimming tea.
Slimming tea, right?
Slimming detox tea. Those
yeah.
are the three tools you need.
It's kind of Team Mate or something. But,
yeah.
All the hotties on Instagram.
It's
not that I know.
Once you've made it, then you get yeah. your teeth whitening.
Wait, it's a slimming what tea?
A slimming detox tea.
That's which, called bourbon.
Which nobody, by the way, I'm sure drinks, but they all advertise. All right, let me take a selfie. See, I feel uncomfortable even doing this. And when I do it, I know there's only one thing people are looking at. It's you. So, all right.
What's the selfie of him taking?
Get my mic in it? Would that make it more interesting? My mic is in it?
scoot my chair.
And then when you take a selfie, do you look at the camera or do you not look at the camera?
You have to look at the camera, I think.
So, like, you're communicating with your peeps?
Alex is out. He's like, I'm out.
I don't know the selfie protocol here. I don't know what the...
Okay. That looks horrible. I'm not posting that. See, that's what happens. I take a selfie and I go, oh, I look terrible. Here, Lauren.
It's like, when did I get a third chin? Like,
You know, there's particular angles.
See, there's something going on with that one.
Yeah. There's something good. It looks in the moment. I got one of my many various hand faces.
Yeah, you have a hand. You're doing a gang sign. So is that a part of it?
It's not a gang sign. it's K-pop.
K-pop?
Yeah.
Which you played in the car all the way up today.
Wait a minute, you're into K-pop?
All of K-pop.
Yeah, of course.
All right, well, I'm going to share this on Instagram. Look how horrible I look. I look like a half-deflated balloon, babe. This is terrible. All right, this is why I don't do these.
You got to just celebrate positivity in your selfies. It's selfie positivity.
Love yourself? Is that what this is all about?
Love your selfie? Yeah, you're all set.
Yeah.
Hashtag love your selfie.
Yep.
Okay,
is
wait
that
a minute.
Thing?
Now that's the other thing.
It became a thing.
Okay.
I want to see everyone loving their selfies.
Hashtag. So that's a lot of typing. Do you have like hashtag shortcuts?
No.
Love thy. See, I'm going to make it biblical. Selfie.
Great.
Yeah. Love thy selfie.
Nailed it.
Love my selfie. Lover thyself. This is not working. I'll just do love my selfie. And then that. And that's done. Oh, I didn't tag you though.
It's okay. I'll find it.
So hoverboards are a thing.
Thank you, Alex, for trying to
look. I already
to get this
got eight likes.
Wow!
Wow! Like that
on one hashtag.
Really? I got none.
Wow!
I'm so depressed. what were we talking about?
Hoverboards. Actually, that's where we started.
Where was it?
You were doing a recap of us being old millennials. You said Schmendrick.
It started with Schmendrick.
That's where we all, it just devolved.
No, actually, but I want some selfie tips. So see the double chin? What do I do about that? That's terrible. Do I hold it up? You lift your chin, but then that's called the angles, right? The Facebook angles.
Crash
now
course.
We're doing the Facebook angles.
You got to definitely hold it at an angle like this, and there's that eliminate that double chin.
I really have nothing valuable to add about selfies.
Nope.
I feel kind
Lauren
of bad.
And Alex are out.
I feel like I'm a it's a betrayal to my my millennial status or being like the random.
Yeah, you're supposed to be into this stuff. Yeah. No.
I don't know. I think I just.
What's your Instagram? Let's see.
Oh, LAHOCK is my Instagram.
LA Hawk.
Yeah.
All right, Lauren. Pretty. Hawkinson.
There's some selfies on there.
But mostly creative, and I like this, creative shots.
Yeah.
Interesting things. There's a few of you in here, but not
a
lot.
There's like a dog. I took a selfie with a dog.
Dog's important. You have to have there's a few more.
Yeah, see?
Well, Lauren's got selfies. Mad style sense, so you got to have points for that.
It's all the bows, too.
I got to follow you. I'm missing out
the bows.
On this. Wow.
I got to document
How many bows do you have now? Get this, Liberty. How many bows do you have now? You can't count them.
22, 23.
Wow. That's nice.
I think so.
That's your style, right? So you have a hashtag. She's got bows.
Yeah.
Hashtag bows.
You got to have something.
Okay, I'll follow your bows.
Peter O'Toole.
I watch your bows every day.
Peter O'Toole, the famous movie star, only wore green socks. You got to have a trademark.
Yeah.
What's your trademark, Leo?
My massive nose.
No hesitation.
Nope.
It's very distinguished. Don't you think?
Tis a royal nose.
Tis a royal nose.
Tis a royal nose. Off with his head. Or just nose.
Hey, we had a great week on Twit. If you missed anything, you missed a lot. Let's take a look.
Previously on Twit.
Paul Thurrott, Mary Jo Foley. It's not too late to run and see them at the Microsoft store.
Andy and Jim and I could come out from the Apple store and join them in caroling together.
With baseball bats.
We're going to head over and assault the Apple store afterwards, too, so.
Home theater geeks.
Joining me, Douglas Trumbull. Legendary special effects man and all-around movie maven. I did want to ask you just a couple things about 2001. How in the heck did you get that pen to float like that?
Well, the camera is actually shooting through a gigantic rotating sheet of glass. But you'll hear it when it pops off. And she puts it in his pocket.
Before you buy.
And we're taking a look at physics of beer. Philip, could you tell me what you've got here?
We all know beer fresh from the tap tastes great. So we developed a system that would take any can or bottle and it would enhance the flavor and taste to give it that fresh from the tap. experience.
Wait, one more. Yes, there's definitely a difference. I enjoy it.
Twit. Put down the keg and tap the twit.
The battery's died in my phaser.
Yes, it should, all right?
It's set to sad.
You are set to sad.
Phasers set to sad. Our show today brought to you by Stamps.com. This is the time of year Stamps.com does the best business. You know why? Because if you are in the business of mailing things, let's say you sell on Etsy or Amazon or eBay, or maybe you've got brochures, the last thing you want to do is go down to the post office, buy stamps, get in line behind grandma with 18 packages. I was at the UPS store. It took forever, and everybody has these very complicated transactions. This is your business. You want your business to be professional. You want stamps.com. There's just no more traffic, no more parking. You don't even have to get up from your desk. With stamps.com, you could do everything you do at the post office right from your desk, including buy and print official U.S. postage. You don't need a postage meter or special ink or anything. You just need your computer and your printer. It's so easy. And you even get a USB scale. I'll show you how to get that for free. That'll let you just plop the letter or package on there, print exactly the right postage, not a penny more, not a penny less, for any letter, any package. And then the mail carrier comes and picks it up. It couldn't be easier. You even get discounts you cannot get at the post office, including discounted package insurance in one click. All the forms are filled out. Just print out certified mail, return receipt, international customs forms. Stamps.com pulls the information from your website or from your address book and pre-populates it. You can even put your company logo on. It prints right on the letters, yep, with the barcode and everything. It's just awesome. Stamps.com. Now, if I've piqued your interest, if you run a business and you do mailing and you want your mailing to look as professional as you are, this is the deal. Go to stamps.com, click the microphone in the upper right-hand corner. We've got an offer code for you, TWIT, T-W-I-T. What do you get? A four-week trial plus a $110 bonus offer that includes $55 in free postage. Free postage, $55. You get the scale. You do have to pay shipping and handling. That's about $5, so they give you a $5 supply kit too. So this is a great deal. Stamps.com. Honestly, this is the time to sign up. Stamps.com. You never need to go to the post office again. Look, look, on Alex Wilhelm's Instagram, there's a picture of Alex and a beautiful oh, it's you. That's it. And I like the choice of black and white.
I picked a random filter because I have no artistic expression whatsoever. So
I think, though, I'm liking monochrome a lot. I use a lot of black. I like black and white, especially for faces, because then you just focus on features, expressions. That's actually... Did you take that? You took that, didn't you, Liberty? He didn't take that.
Actually,
I did.
He did? Really? Alex, you got some foo.
You know, blind dog finds duck once in a while, you know.
Instagram foo. Did you see Star Wars?
Yes.
Yes?
No.
No?
Not yet.
Do you want to see Star Wars?
Of course.
Okay. You not yet, but you're going.
I'm the moment my girlfriend gets back from Virginia. I'm
oh, isn't that romantic? Oh, yeah. You won't go see it without your aww girlfriend. That's
she had a
so
knife.
Sweet.
You know, it's kind of a forced agreement. But yeah. So I'm.
Is this your imaginary girlfriend or your real girlfriend?
I have two.
Yeah.
I don't think I can handle two.
Sometimes I think they're one and the same.
Oh man, that's some shade right there. I'm really excited about it. I just haven't seen it yet.
Yeah. So we can't say anything about it, you know, Lauren, because we don't want to spoil it for anybody.
I guess so. I will say, though, I had a really pleasurable movie-going experience.
I did, too.
I went to the new theater in the Mission that's run by Alamo Drafthouse, which means that...
Oh, I'm so jealous.
I know.
I love Alamo Drafthouse in Austin. You can have beer and tacos with your film.
So you go in, and you have to be 18 and over, and there's no cell phones, and you can tell people to be quiet through the manager, and if they're not quiet, they get to leave. And then they give you snacks and drinks to your table. So I basically watched Star Wars the way that God intended, and it was really good. It was so good, though.
Was it 3D or regular? It was regular.
It was regular.
They don't do 3D because they're smart.
They have a 3D. They have a 3D theater in the new one, in the one in Mission. But so I just went, and it was really lovely, and I got some commemorative... pint glasses, Star Wars pint glasses that they are doing only for the premiere.
Yeah.
So I got those.
Nice.
And yeah, I liked it. And also I want like 70 BB-8s. I want just like a tiny army of BB-8s.
Isn't BB-8 awesome?
Like, I want them to follow me around like little ducklings.
BB-8 is the new robot and really awesome. But no spoilers, I promise you. You know that. I'm not telling anybody.
Yeah. You're not spoiling. School. Newsflash, BB-8's real cute.
Yeah.
News I mean, I thought Wally was the cute robot. Now you've gone over to BB-8. Where does that put Wally on the cute Alamo, robot scale?
Alamo Drafthouse is famous for not tolerating annoying moviegoers, so much so that they have this video. This was an actual voicemail they received from a moviegoer who was thrown out of the Alamo Drafthouse. Have you heard this yet?
No.
Yeah.
But I'm not surprised. They're serious about it.
Yeah. This is what follows an actual voicemail.
Yeah, I was wondering if you guys actually enjoy treating your customers like pieces of because that's how I felt when I went to the Alamo Draft House. Okay? You know what? I didn't know that wasn't supposed to text in your little crappy-ass theater. Find my seat, all right? I was using my phone as a flashlight to get to my... Excuse me for using my...
By the way, there'll be some profanity in this.
United States of America.
United States of America.
To text in a theater. I was not aware that I couldn't text in your theater, all right? I've texted in all the other theaters in Austin, and no one ever gave a... about what I was doing my... And it was on silent. It wasn't on loud. It wasn't bothering anybody. You guys obviously were being and I'm sure that's what you do, you know, to rip people off. You take my money and then you throw me out. You know, I will never be.
And then they make a YouTube video of your voicemail and play it and shame you on the internet.
They actually also play them. They play these sorts of things before the movie.
Oh, this is probably what this is from. Yeah, this is from.
Yeah, just to remind you that you're not supposed to use your cell phone or talk.
That's great shaming. Isn't that? I would adhere to that.
Can we please have her on Twit? That would be the
magnetic state of America.
Magnetic States of America, Alamo Drafthouse Girl, Apple Part Lady, and Steve Kovac or something.
It'd be awesome. Steve was supposed to be here today. He apologizes. He couldn't make it.
Why couldn't he make it?
Because Liberty Madison is much more attractive.
Thank you so much.
Someone please tag him on Twitter for that. He needs to know.
He bailed. I think he went home for the holidays or something like that. He bailed, but he'll be back. So you guys know, did you like want Steve to be part of this group?
He's part of our little Twitter cabal, if you will. Like we're all, it's like the 20s to 30s Lauren's tech going, journalists. Why are you shaking your head, Lauren? What's the issue?
I feel like there's stuff going on behind the...
No, it's just that Steve unfollowed me on Twitter.
He unfollowed you?
That's like a modern day, like, burn.
Oh, yeah. Girlfriend, what did you do? See, I'm talking about the kids. Oh, no, he didn't.
Wait, that's all. Wow, old. No, that's
old.
Stop,
they don't,
stop,
people
stop.
Don't do that anymore.
No, Leo.
Oh, no, he didn't.
Well, as long as he didn't unfriend you. On Facebook, that's the ultimate.
No, that's a thing.
Unfollowing you, I don't know. Unfriending you is the wow. Like you can't even talk to him in real life.
Yeah. Unfriending is like breaking up.
Yeah, that's the worst.
But unfollowing is not. It's more. What is that?
Unfollowing kind of hurts, but not as much as unfriending.
Is it more like you just talk too much and I don't want to hear what you have to say, kind of thing?
See, I could put it on that. Maybe that. Yeah. No?
I don't know.
Why did he unfollow? Can somebody tweet him? What's his handle?
Really? It's at Steve Kovac.
Thank you so much. At Steve Kovac. We all want to know.
Oh, yeah. Everybody tweet him. That'll drive him
that's
crazy.
Actually a really bad idea.
But he could mute you now, right? They have mute. And the mute is invisible to the mutee. It could be for an indefinite period or a short period of time.
Mute is like the kind unfollow. That's you don't want to hurt someone's feelings. Yeah.
If you get muted, are you an M-U-T-E? Sorry.
Terrible.
No. Wow. You're going to
roll past that
one. Oh, no, you didn't.
That's right. Appropriate.
Let's move on.
I'll take that one. All right. Sorry.
Copyright Tribunal slaps Pandora. This is why I think it's not a good thing to be in the streaming music industry these days. Pandora, as you know, picked up the assets of RDO when RDO went as belly up and hopes to do streaming music. But the amount of money that one of these companies pays in royalties is set by a thing called the Copyright Tribunal, which in and of itself sounds almost, you know...
Dystopian.
Oh, the Copyright Tribunal has decided that... Pandora, by the way, wanted to lower its rates. Pandora currently pays 14 cents per 100 songs played. So it's very low. It's 0.0014 cents dollars per song. But they now are raised to 17 cents per 100 songs play, which is a 20% increase. Doesn't sound like a lot, but remember that Pandora is hovering on the verge of, I think, of bankruptcy as it is. They pay more than $1 billion a year. They wanted it to get down to 11 cents per 100 songs. And by the way, the music industry, which uses Sound Exchange to enforce its copyrights, wanted a bigger increase. They wanted 25 cents per 100 songs.
That would have killed Pandora, I think.
Yeah, it's very close. And it just shows you that companies like Spotify and Pandora, like RDO, are really exist only because the music industry lets them at this point, right?
The Glorious Common Room says that the OPEC of music, which I really enjoy,
it is like
the analogy.
That.
But Pandora's stock following the announcement actually shot up about 13%. Yeah. I think people were enthused that it wasn't a higher
increase. It wasn't
as
bad as it could have been.
Right. So it was priced in already to the share price. So the good news was good news of a sort. Not great news, given the cost increase. But I think Pandora will persist and stay on. So that's really what I care about. It's long-term viability of their unit economics.
Yeah, and I'm sure that this is tough for Pandora because – but you're right. The stock market, I guess, figures, well, it could have been worse. They bought the assets of RDO for $75 million. In October, they bought Ticketfly, which is a ticket sales organization, for $450 million.
Just by a show of hands, who actually uses Pandora?
Is it only old folks? And you and me. You know, it's funny because we talk a lot about Pandora on MacBreak Weekly. They seem to like it a lot, but you don't use it.
No.
Spotify.
Definitely.
Yeah. Spotify.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Oldtimeradio.com.
Yeah, I have my little phonograph, and I sit there and I start turning. I hand crank it, and then what I do is I go and program my ghost piano to play, and then I do little yeah, exactly.
What, do you wear a top hat while you do this?
Like Michigan J Frog.
All those Schmendrix at oldtimeradio.com. Once again, what do you listen to? What's your streaming?
Well, I have Spotify, yeah. But I also listen to SoundCloud.
You pay for Spotify?
I pay for Spotify, and then I also have a premium SoundCloud account.
SoundCloud, you're the one.
SoundCloud is the up and comer. Mm-hmm. I noticed my son, who's 21, and his gang listen to YouTube and Spotify, SoundCloud of all things.
Yeah.
And that's because I think, Chris, he likes dubstep and kind of EDM, and there's a lot of remixes on there, and so SoundCloud's a good choice for that.
I love SoundCloud's product. But their economics, given articles that I've seen, are not particularly good.
Yeah.
So I'm worried about their viability. Pandora is roughly profitable or break even, if I recall properly. I didn't check that
it's
right
barely,
now.
Barely, I think. Barely. Yeah.
But I mean, SoundCloud's definitely still in startup mode, if you will. And I'm curious if they'll raise enough capital to make it to profitability.
I think you make a good point. When the stock goes up 19%, that means the market believes that they can be profitable with that new rate. In fact,
absolutely.
Pandora's press release said this is a balanced rate that we can work with and grow from. So they were relieved. Frankly, that it didn't go up as high as it could have. The new rate structure will enable continued investment by Pandora to drive forward a thriving and vibrant future for music. I like Pandora. It is number one, by the way, to answer your question, Liberty. It is the largest streaming music service, followed by Spotify. But a lot of those people don't pay, and that's part of the problem. It's 90 million users, mostly, who don't pay. They listen to the ad-supported product.
I noticed that we did not mention one streaming service.
Apple Music.
Tidal.
Tidal?
That was an amazing
that
title.
Was my segue.
Thank you so much, Lauren.
Tidal?
Yeah. Yes.
That's the one Jay-Z brought in all the people and let Madonna put her leg on the table. Mm-hmm. And they signed that.
Excuse me?
You don't remember that?
You don't remember that?
No.
It was the weirdest event. Jay-Z brought in all his friends, including Beyonce, his wife, and a whole bunch of very hot musicians to sign something that we never really saw the text of, some sort of pledge.
It was some sort of a music amendment.
And there's Madonna, who decided that if she's going to be a weirdo, she might as well go all in. And she got literally kind of humped the table while she signed, like a virgin, signed that document. We don't know what the document was. And I don't know what Tidal's future holds, frankly. Jay-Z paid, I think, $65 million for it.
Yeah, he did.
Almost as much as their house.
They've been experiencing a lot of their VPs leaving. Mm.
I think it's really tough. I believe it's going to come down to Pandora and Spotify.
I don't even think they're in the game for Tidal.
And then, and there's Deezer also, remember. Yeah. But I think it's going to be Pandora, Spotify. And then really the ones that are going to survive is the companies that don't rely on the income from the music streaming. And that's Apple Music, Google Play Music, and maybe Amazon Music. Those guys, that's an ad value add for their other businesses. So they could keep in this business even if they lose a little bit of money.
So on this topic of losses, let's play a little game. How much money did Pandora lose last quarter? Q3 2015, how much money did they lose on a GAAP basis? Just guess.
Generally accepted accounting practices.
Principles. Whatever it is, yes.
How much? I'd say $250 million.
In losses.
Yeah, I was going to say $300 million. I was going to go four.
Jeez. It's only 85, guys. Calm down.
Wow.
You know?
Okay, so does that account for though, the RDO acquisition, or is that not in the
GAAP?
That's not a loss. That's an expense. Okay. So,
They haven't had a profitable quarter since Q4 2014.
My point exactly.
But that said, they bought RDO for a reason, and that was to take advantage of RDO's streaming catalog. Although, for, I guess, the last few years, RDO's had a lot of trouble maintaining artist catalogs in their streaming property. Now that Pandora's, on board, I think that they're going to start to use that as their streaming, technology.
I agree with that entirely.
And also what you're seeing here is, so you have Pandora getting into streaming, and then you see Spotify and Tidal getting into exclusives. You know, mm-hmm. when you're talking about trying to get, Adele's...
curating their content.
Getting Adele's 25 onto the site for premium users, or say the fact that... Apple Music had Drake's Hotline Bling video up before anybody else.
Exclusives is what makes it. And, of course, yes. Taylor Swift now, Apple owns that concert footage from 1989. They're mm-hmm. going to have an exclusive on that.
Yeah. And so what you see here is, I think that there's like a couple different strategies by which all of these streaming platforms are trying to really make it big. And I think I don't think that it'll be just like an out and out, like, a race to the bottom or a race to the top, depending on how you look at it. Like, all of a sudden somebody's going to become so big or somebody's going to become so small that they're just going to get cut out. I think what you're going to see is kind of a bigger fish eating little fish until there's still just a couple of big fish left. And whether or not Spotify or Pandora is one of the big fish at some point remains to be seen.
Okay, and to that point, though, not everyone from RDO made it over to Pandora. No. So if you're looking to hire awesome engineers on the mobile and music sites, I would look up RDO's old LinkedIn database and talk to those guys. There are a lot of really cool kids there.
They got a lot of their engineers, but not all engineers. Yep. This is true. I had somebody tell me that they had to sadly tick the music ingestion stream on RDO to off.
Oh,
that's tough,
that was his job.
Ooh,
I was like,
that must have been depressing. Oh, that's a bad feeling. So to answer your question, actually, I did a little research, Liberty, while Lauren was filling us in on Tidal. This has not been a good story. Jay-Z acquired the company and relaunched in March of this year. That's when they had the famous mm-hmm. signing with Kanye, and there's mm-hmm. Deadmau5 and Madonna and 50 Cent, and all the gang were there. Mm-hmm. You know, as I say 50.
Oh, we noticed.
I'm with the kids. Mm-hmm.
We definitely
with the
noticed.
Kids, you
noticed
it too?
I just grimaced.
For years, I said 50 cents, and I was informed that that's not correct.
Still say 50 cents.
I still don't know who. Just 50. Well, anyway, Tidal is the high fidelity choice, right? Mm-hmm. So they offer CD streaming, but that's $20 a month, and I think that's part of the problem. Is who cares, right?
It's 2x.
Yeah, you can get the $10 a month lower quality, but it's not. But here's an interesting stat from App Annie. They monitor app downloads. Tidal is not among the 500 most downloaded apps in the U.S. And in fact, as of this was Tuesday of last August, it was 105th among all music apps. Mm-hmm. 105th among all music apps.
That means dead.
Except what you guys forget is the small caveat when Beyonce drops her next album, and it is a Tidal exclusive plus music videos.
Right.
Everybody is going to flip out, and they're going to join Tidal.
But you can't
to get it.
Bank the whole company on exclusives from Beyonce and Nicki Minaj.
Well, no.
That's what they're doing.
Yeah.
That's exactly what
I think. Beyonce is very smart. And I mean, this is going to be an interesting discussion one night between Beyonce and Jay-Z, because Beyonce's really, look what she did with her last album, which was insanely brilliant. Mm-hmm. No one even knew she was recording it. She dropped the album and all the videos all at once. It was an amazing success. I don't think she's going to be exclusive to Tidal, and if she is, it'll be for a week.
Oh,
she
will.
She's going to shoot her.
She has to?
She's going to shoot Jay-Z's, to Gail and say, hey, I'm going to go to Good Morning see you later, Harpo. I think that's what she's going to do. She's
really
gonna, definitely
interesting.
I don't know. Yeah. I don't think that she's going to. I think that the entire business model of Tidal is based on the idea that you're going to have these top selling artists who are going to say no to every other place.
That was the except pledge. Except
for the idea that, you know, e-commerce buys, right? So like, you know, if Beyonce wants to release her album, her new album onto Apple, but it'll be through iTunes only and not streamed on Apple Music and not streamed on Beats One and not streamed on their radio. So you'll see her still, I think, in these other artists, you know, it's not just her. It's Jay-Z. It's Kanye. It's, well, Madonna.
Wow. Okay.
Don't get me started.
I love Madonna. I went to Denver, Colorado to see Madonna in concert.
Did you listen to MDNE? MDNA
was that was the concert we went to. I kind of liked it. Why?
I think the shade is implied. But going back to the Queen Bey point,
can I have a still of that? I want to put that on my Instagram feed. Hashtag. Oh no, you didn't.
So Beyonce sold 430,000 copies of her last album in 24 hours.
Yeah.
So she's a mega.
Yeah, but how many did Taylor sell in the first few days of her album by having...
I can look it up.
Or not Taylor, I'm sorry, Adele.
Oh.
Adele had an Apple exclusive, right? You could only buy it on Apple?
No, you could buy it on... You could buy it on
Google
too.
Play Music and in stores.
You couldn't stream it.
Oh, okay. She had a streaming exclusive.
Yes.
Right. Mm-hmm.
All right, so that's not a good example because you could stream it on. You could mm-hmm. no, you
could stream Beyonce on Spotify.
You couldn't get 25 on Spotify.
No, you can only get Hello, and you couldn't get.
You can get Hello, the first song.
I tried.
And I did too. I did too, and I didn't want to buy the album because I didn't want it.
I feel like I paid Spotify enough for them to negotiate this deal.
I love Adele, and I didn't want the album, so Lisa, my wife, bought it on iTunes.
But it's also by volume.
And then I was glad I didn't buy it.
It's also by volume, though. So
you're glad you didn't buy an Adele album?
No. I love Adele singing, but I think it's time for her to move on with, you know, breaking up. Even Justin Bieber's saying,
it was about getting back together.
Oh.
That's what she said. She said 25 was about saying hello and getting back.
Hello.
Man, this is a really long relationship breakup. It's like three albums of sadness and now hello. Like, I mean, geez, what's next? Like,
I almost wish at this point Adele would sing somebody else's music because her voice is so good. And I'd like to hear some more variety. I guess that's what I really want is more variety.
Are you looking for something upbeat or what are you looking for?
Yeah, one that would be one thing.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to happen.
Nope. Mm-mm.
She's not going to do it.
Nope.
No.
Nah. Shall we make a twit?
Yeah.
Here's another Tidal fact. We can make this a part of the show.
Tidal fact.
Tidal fact. $50 million lawsuit from Cash Money Records over the Lil Wayne mixtape that Tidal streamed, they said, exclusively in July. Cash Money said that was a desperate and illegal attempt to save their struggling streaming service.
Yes, however, you're discounting the fact that Cash Money Records is currently run by Birdman, who is facing a criminal case over trying to murder Lil Wayne.
Well,
so
isn't facing a criminal case.
When did he try to murder Lil Wayne?
Yes.
When, though? What happened?
So, let's go to Lauren's corner of understanding how Cash Money and Young Money Records intersect. Hi. Lil Wayne has a sub-label in Cash Money Records.
You got any rye over there? Okay.
Lil Wayne has a sub-label in Cash Money Records. It's called Young Money, for those who are familiar with it. Nicki Minaj is on Young Money, and also Drake, among other people.
Yeah.
And, And it
That was a selfie. He was doing a selfie.
And actually, it turns out, though,
his feet were in the shot, but he was doing a selfie.
I'll behave. I'm sorry.
Never. He never behaves.
Okay.
In short.
Fired shots at Lil Wayne's tour bus.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That's not trying to kill somebody. He's just shooting at the bus.
He hired a hitman to shoot him.
Oh.
Do we know about these allegations?
Yeah.
Do we have anyone to corroborate this story? I don't believe it.
He was indicted. No, this is a real,
You know, the beef between Wayne and Birdman's been in the public eye since Weezy first called himself a prisoner of Cash Money.
Yep, it was a
big
deal.
You shouldn't say that sentence. You should not say that out loud. You should just let Lauren do her thing, and then we can move on to, like, hoverboards or something.
We got to cover hoverboards.
I think that was the best sentence of the whole show.
We go back to hoverboards. The Lil Wayne.
So, wait a minute. Let me understand that. Is there a big Wayne and a little Wayne?
No. Lil Wayne's always been Lil. Lil Wayne has been Lil since he was a little kid when he was Lil Wayne.
And he's still kind of Lil.
He is, physically.
He's got the whiniest voice. I don't understand why he's popular. His voice is
Young
annoying.
Thug is much worse.
Back when he was, I mean, he started out
his flows are very good.
Lil he Wayne was 14 when he started
his
in the
flows are awesome.
Lil Wayne's great.
You like Lil Wayne?
I do.
I like his flow, but I think his voice kind of grates on me.
I've actually purchased 3 rap albums in my entire life.
And Lil Wayne was 2 of them.
And he was one of them.
All right. What were the other 2?
The other was Jay-Z.
Nice.
I love Jay-Z.
It was Jay-Z, Lil Wayne, and Kanye.
So was that...
This was before Kanye
the
was
Carter
a dick.
3. That'd be the Carter 3. And if I were to guess for Jay-Z, I would bet it would be the Blueprint.
It was the Blueprint.
Of course it was.
It was the Blueprint.
It's an amazing
and
record.
Yes. Kanye, so
this is
like
what
an
I
808 and
when I got
girl,
young people on that
know.
We'd all be talking about the hip-hop scene.
I don't
scene.
Know.
This was
my prayer.
It was the... What was the one with the... College Dropout.
College Dropout was his first one, yeah.
Yeah,
it
like
went
that.
Like through the wire.
That's where he wore
that
his
one.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
That one.
That's
yeah.
actually a good album.
It's College Dropout, yeah.
Yeah, that's a great album. That's again,
that's my
Jay-Z
street
before
credit.
He was a, I mean, not Jay-Z. That was Kanye before he was a dick.
The chat room wants to know if we're talking about football. No, this is not football. We apologize. L Bookery or I Bookery.
But Creamy Corn Cob says you forgot about your Vanilla Ice album that you bought when you were 14.
Oh, sorry about that. Thank you so much.
This is true.
No.
I love Vanilla Ice.
Okay, maybe
okay,
it's true.
And now moving on.
He rebuilds homes. He changes lives now.
Does he?
He does. He's got his own show.
The long and the short of it is that I think that Tidal has an edge by the fact that they have a possibility of
an
getting
edge.
a preponderance of music
Apple
exclusives.
Apple Music is going to own that because of Jimmy Iovine and Dre, and I feel like that's the whole thing that's going to save
maybe.
Apple Music.
Maybe
they're exclusive.
Maybe they'll, but maybe something will happen. But at this point, I mean, theoretically, they've got Beyonce, Nicki Minaj, Rihanna, Madonna, Kanye.
Do you think those people will all do that? That they'll all take a chance and go with Tidal?
No, absolutely not.
It's too much of a risk, right? You're kind of giving up what
I think that's what they thought they could do.
Right.
If we build this team, we build this dream team of everyone who's in the top 20 of top 40 hits, we're going to be successful.
Right.
And you've seen what has happened.
It's kind of fallen apart. It's hard to keep. Those people are all, you know, feisty like you, and it's hard to keep them in order. There's the March 30th. That was an amazing event. Although I was baffled by the whole thing.
I'm just so glad Drake wasn't there.
Why wasn't Drake there?
Because
he was Apple Music.
Yeah, deal with Apple
Music.
Oh,
he's with Apple.
Exactly. And he's what's that word? Successful. Yeah.
Oh, come on. Daft Punk is hip.
Wow.
Daughtry? Come on.
This is the shadiest episode
so,
ever.
So, fun fact, though, is that Apple Music kept Drake out of being number one on the Billboard charts because they don't actually catalog and document the plays from Hotline Bling on Apple Music. So, he lost
he was devastated.
The number one Billboard spot to The Weeknd for The
what?
Hills.
Yes.
And then the week after, which was supposed to be his big release on Vivo, got totally swamped by Adele. So Drake
got robbed.
That is true.
He has never had a number one single.
But he should have.
As a top billed primary artist.
How could they not count iTunes? How could they not count that? That's the number one retailer of all.
Ain't it just the way?
Yeah, poor Drake with his money and talent and fans and so forth. The poor guy. Life's going to be really tough.
Speaking of poor guys, Howard Stern.
Oh, good segue.
I know. That was good, wasn't it? I don't even want to talk about it. I just wanted to do the segue. I couldn't resist. Okay, we'll do it real quick. He kind of kept people hanging as he negotiated with Sirius XM. In fact, I think on Wednesday it was like he said goodbye practically to his staff and audience. But in the end, the king of all media announced he's going to stay with Sirius XM for another 5 years. It's a 12-year agreement. The last time he got $80 million a year, we think he's getting $90 million a year. The 12-year agreement includes all the old videos, which they're going to put in a special Sirius XM app that you can download and see Howard Stern anytime, anywhere.
Can you explain to us why people like him so much? He must have an amazingly large audience
to
command that kind of dollar amount.
He's apparently 12% of all Sirius XM subscribers, and that's a lot of money because it's like $15 a month, right? 250. They think this article by our friend Matthew Ingram estimates he's worth about $250 million a year to Sirius XM in revenue. So $90 million, nothing, right? They're still making a good money.
160, yeah.
And frankly, I don't know why anybody would have satellite radio in this day and age, since you can get everything that satellite radio offers except Howard Stern on your smartphone, right? So that's really the differentiator, because Howard's not available anywhere else. You have to have satellite radio if you want to listen to Howard. So I think that it's reasonable. Why do people listen? You know, he's talented. I think he's talented. Where else are you going to see a man play a piano with his penis? I think it's a unique.
See, I just don't need that at all. Like, yeah. I could just walk right by that storefront and be like, nah.
Yeah. Hard pass.
Hard pass.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's not for me. Not for you. But there. I mean, he's the king of all media. He's very, very successful.
Can I do a plug?
Yeah.
TechCrunch has a Sirius XM radio show every week. Pitch your startup. Yeah, I'm not on it, but we have one.
I think, is Sarah Lane doing that?
No, it's Biggs. Biggs and Jordan. Jordan, yeah.
Oh, nice. They pay for that. You don't know it, but they do.
I don't know.
Yeah, they buy that. It's called brokered airtime. They buy that.
Whatever. Yeah. We're on the radio.
I'm guessing. But there may be an AOL relationship that goes beyond that.
We work for Verizon, though. Yeah, I know, right?
Not much longer.
Two more weeks.
Is that why you left?
No, absolutely not.
No.
Verizon's done nothing so far to impinge on TechCrunch's independence.
That's
all they've
good
done is give us more money.
And you have no reason to lie at this point because you're on the way out.
No, I mean, I'm really happy to say that I'm leaving TechCrunch at a time when it's the biggest it's ever been and probably the strongest. So it's nice to be able to, we're not like down in the barrels here. It's doing really well.
What we don't know is how much Apple paid Taylor Swift for their exclusive, but it's going to be around $90 million, isn't it? I mean, can you imagine how much money? This is the 1989 concert. She just wrapped up the world tour. And the only place you'll be able to see the video starting December 20th will be on Apple, on iTunes, I guess, right?
It's just a shame that that product is so awful to use.
The user interface should be much better. It really isn't a... But this is Apple, right? You'd think Apple would be... They're terrible. iTunes, terrible. You'd think Apple would be better at this stuff.
Yeah, it's weird because generally I feel like I'm pretty good at understanding and solving, you know, UI, UX clues or indicators to how to operate something.
Yeah, no
and
indicators.
I can't
no.
do it. Not no. only that, but I have it, you know, I have music on my phone because I have an iPhone. And so everything goes through Apple Music. And it is constantly confusing and constantly pushing me to sign up for the streaming product every time I just want to listen to my K-pop music. And it's really sad.
I'm not sure how they're going to do this because you have to subscribe to Apple Music, which is an audio-only service, to get the video. Mm. But you could do the three-month trial. So if you've held off on the three-month trial till now.
I have.
Yeah. Or if you get an Android phone, you get a new three-month
trial. I refuse.
Yeah. You're not going to do it?
Well,
not
a big taste. I don't use Android.
You don't love the Tay-Tay?
You're not a fan-droid?
I'm not a... No, what? No, that's a terrible word.
Look at my new BlackBerry. Now, you think... You like... Your iPhone.
But there's a new BlackBerry.
Can your iPhone
or just there's a BlackBerry? Actually love that.
Can your iPhone do that?
My iPhone doesn't need to. It works without one.
It's got a slide.
What kind of BlackBerry is that?
This is the BlackBerry Priv. Okay, worst name ever. I'll grant you that. But it's Android.
BlackBerry Priv.
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 It seems like a good idea. Oh, 90 likes now on my picture. Yeah.
Who are these Instagram fanboys that you have? Because I want some of them on my account. I got like 2 likes.
90 likes. This is their first Android device. So it's actually a pretty good version. It's Lollipop. It's not Mount Marshmallow, but it's a pretty clean version of Android. Not crufted up. And it's a decent, you know, it's a full price $650 flagship style phone. But it's got a keyboard, which is kind of cool. It's got a good camera, really good camera.
Oh, that's kind of nice.
But Priv is not a good name.
It feels good.
Yeah. It feels all right. See the keyboard. You like Android. You're using a Samsung phone.
I am a Fandroid. Yes,
yeah,
definitely.
Yeah.
We're not saying Fandroid.
Fandroid,
Unicorn, and Bro all banned.
Actually, Jason Howell does a show called All About Android, our Android weekly Android show on
Tuesdays. From time to time.
And it was actually a really good idea. You had a face-off between typing on on-screen keyboard and the BlackBerry Priv keyboard. The Priv came in way last.
Yeah, we had two of the panelists with Privs, and then we pitched them against one person with a touchscreen Google keyboard and one with a touchscreen Swift key.
Swift
and
key must have won.
Both Privs were out on the first round.
Yeah.
You know, because we're trying to do speed and then, of course, accuracy, whatever hit Twitter.
You know,
Twitter.
It's so funny because I loved the BlackBerry keyboard. My last BlackBerry was 2007 when the iPhone came out and I never went back. But I really bitched and moaned about an on-screen keyboard. Was not very accurate for a long time. But now that I've gotten used to it and now that Swipe has that flow thing where you don't pick up your finger, do you use that?
I do not.
You tap.
Mm-hmm.
See, I think you should try the flow. It's so much faster.
I've tried it.
You can't do it?
It just doesn't work for me.
Yeah. Maybe it's just something about me, but I really find it easy to do the flow. and much faster. And when I went back to this keyboard, which is a classic BlackBerry keyboard, I found it difficult. I felt like I'm back in time. You know, it's an interesting.
It looks nice on its face, but I know for a fact that my hands are basically like, my fingers are like tiny cocktail weenies.
Well, that might be, you might be better off. No. Mine are like kind of massive sausages.
But it's like, I'm just going to like, it'll be all bad. I won't be able to type at all. I know this looking at that.
You use an iPhone.
Yes.
Yeah. And you find the iPhone. Do you use a third-party keyboard or the regular keyboard?
I use a regular keyboard, but I have a special keyboard for GIFs. GIFs.
The GIF keyboard's awesome. GIF. It isn't anything. It's whatever anybody says it is. It doesn't matter.
You can choose your own reality.
Choose your own reality, Alex.
Agreed.
Listen to me. It's a GIF. Like, can we just listen to my words?
And I don't even want to know what your rationale is. We're just going to let you.
No, because the first word's graphical. With
I know. That's what I thought it was.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. By the way, BlackBerry said, if this doesn't make it, they're out of the business. They're out of the hardware business. This is the last debt. And because I want to keep BlackBerry alive, I bought one. And I'm going to keep it in my pocket, and I'm going to use it. It's got a great camera.
They've done a major turnaround.
That's an interesting assertion. Yeah. Why do you say that?
Well, you're holding one.
That's a big turnaround.
They're not that proves exactly my point. In the dumpster. They're just next to the dumpster.
Think about it. Would he have been holding one previously?
Exactly. BlackBerry results trounce expectations.
But if you have shares a low rally, bar already, clearing it is easy.
There's one on the table.
There you go. One out of four. There's one Samsung, one BlackBerry Priv, and two iPhones. So I think that's 25% of the market. Mm-hmm. That's fine.
Well, here's the numbers. BlackBerry only lost $89 million this last quarter, down from $148 million year prior.
That's good.
They're not directly bleeding money in the dumpster.
Well, $89 million is more than it's $1 million a day.
It's a lot to lose. It is a lot to lose.
I couldn't lose $89, so yeah. I looked a lot up, to not lose. Down, I guess, in this case.
I don't know why. I guess I have a soft spot for a BlackBerry. Because I guess in some ways a BlackBerry was my first smartphone before the iPhone came out. You know?
Did you ever have a Palm Pilot back in the day?
I did.
I had the Palm 3C with the first color screen.
Yep.
I thought it was the coolest thing ever. And now I'm sure it would be like a Dell Pocket PC.
We have one over there. We have a Visor as well. I remember the Visor.
Oh, yeah.
Actually, can you get me, John, my old BlackBerry, the Curve? It's on my desk in there. Because
my Curve.
You have a Curve.
A Curve.
It was like, you know what? It felt at the time, it was like great. But when you look at it now and you compare it to a modern phone, it's kind of wow.
It kind of works. The battery doesn't die.
But look at the size. Look at the size of the screen compared to the Priv now. The whole phone fits inside the Priv screen. Mm-hmm. But the keyboard's great. You're right. It went all day. It went all week
days.
Almost.
Yeah. A week.
And then it had this little cute little ball thing that you could navigate with.
What were they called back in the day? They were probably like crackberries because they're so popular among executives.
Yeah, I think they still are. I think if you go to government and big business, you'll see a lot of BlackBerries still. Mm-hmm.
That says a lot in the one statement there. I mean, the government moves always about 5-10 years behind the rest of the market.
There's the mistaken notion that BlackBerry is somehow more secure than other smartphones.
Well,
I don't think that's true.
Well, it was for a while on the email front. That was their selling point was this
you
is
You ran
secure
the server.
Email.
Right.
And then that fell apart pretty quickly.
Yeah, when they gave Steve the source Jobs. Code to India and China, that was kind of the end of the line.
That's GG. Yeah. Cash it in.
Well, no, the governments demanded it so they could spy on people. This has security stuff built in, some special BlackBerry security stuff. It has BBM, which is cute because when I launched the BlackBerry Messenger, and I get, you know, nobody. There's nobody. It's a very lonely
spot. It's like going to Google Plus right now. It's like, hey, I'm here. And then you're all alone.
Hey.
And then they have this. Look at this. I get a security meter. Look at my security status is excellent. It says so. And that's reassuring. I'm in the green, man. I'm in the green. But no, I think this is, it says discover how apps are using your info. Probably an Android feature that's just, you know, they're just taking advantage of. But there's some, you know, there's some factory reset protection, things like that they do. And I like the meter. That's kind of fun. I don't know. I'm going to use this for a little while. It's got good battery life. I'm still at 81%. Took it off the charger about 8 this morning.
Oh, that's impressive.
Not bad. Yep.
If you don't use your phone because it doesn't do anything, you can actually have a long-lasting battery. Buy an iPhone.
Actually, the 6S Plus battery life is the best of anything.
Yeah,
I noticed you're using 6s, though, both of you. You're not on the big one. You like the littler one.
Yes, I have tiny gnome hands.
Oh, yeah, you mentioned that.
Yeah.
They're Vienna sausage fingers, I think.
Tiny. My brother used to refer to them as carnival hands.
Your brother was a mean.
I hope you punched him for that.
Yeah.
He was a real schmendrick.
You have beautiful hands. Nothing wrong with your hands. Let me see your hands, Alex. You too have beautiful hands.
They're just hands.
Worked a day in your life.
I have actually worked construction and well, I'm a journalist, so no, not really.
Our show today, bro. That was mean. I was just being.
You're fine.
Let me hold your hand, though, while we do this.
Oh, that's nice.
Our show today. They're slightly moist. Our show today, bro.
Your fault, man.
I know. I'm so sad. Our show today brought to you by Audible.com. That makes me happy. And I have to say, on every phone I have, the very first app, well, one of the very first apps I install is my Audible app, because I got to have my audiobooks. And with Audible, you know, on an iPhone, on an Android device, even on Windows Phone, even on BlackBerry, I've got all my books. It's like a little library I could take with me. I'm currently listening to Neal Stephenson's new book, Seven Eves. Wow. I put this off, and I shouldn't have. I'm a huge Neal Stephenson fan. The story of the moon breaking up into seven different pieces, and then scientists suddenly realizing that as those pieces collide, they will create a cloud, a dust cloud of rocks, which will eventually be drawn into Earth's atmosphere and create a fiery globe that will sterilize all life on the planet in 2 years. And what the planet does to respond to that is fascinating. What do you think would happen if we've got news that we've got 2 years before we just get destroyed in a fiery...
Well, I'm going to the liquor store.
Yeah, that's the first thing you'd do. I also just got Sarah Vowell's newest, Lafayette in the Somewhat United States. Boy, I love this because listen to who reads this. Fred Armisen, John Hodgman, Nick Offerman. We all love him from Parks and Rec. John Slattery, the good-looking guy on Mad Men, the white-haired, good-looking because he's like my age. Patton Oswalt, the great character actor. This is going to be good, too. So here's the deal. You can get two books. I just named two, but as you can see, I've been an Audible member since 2000. I have so many books in my library. The new Wright Brothers book by David McCullough, I Like History. I'm learning a little French, too. In fact, I'm doing a face-off between two different French series, the Pimsleur French and the Collins French, trying to figure out which one is going to be best for me to learn French. You can also listen to the college... I'll pause this right now. Lafayette's going on. You can listen to the great courses, great college lecturers. All the great courses are on here. When we were traveling around in Europe, I was listening to the three-part series on the Middle Ages. Just, you feel like you're getting... you are getting a college education. And what's nice about your audiobooks on Audible is that's your library. That's there forever. I have hundreds of books available to me. I can download books I loved and want to read again. If you go to audible.com right now /twit2, you'll be signing up for the Platinum account. That's two books a month plus the Daily Digest of the New York Times or the Wall Street Journal. Cancel any time in the first 30 days. You'll pay nothing, but those two books will be yours forever. I'm just such a fan. The readers are great. They bring the books to life. We were talking the other day about Audible and Amazon, because Audible's owned by Amazon. They do this wonderful thing called Whisper Sync for voice. When you buy an audiobook, you can also get the Kindle version of it for a reduced price. And then you can either listen or read and pick up where you left off. So if you want to read while you're at home in your Kindle, when you get in the car, the audiobook will pick up exactly where you left off and continue on. You can also, and this is great for young readers, you can listen to the audiobook and watch the text. And I think it's a great way for young readers. In fact, research shows that audiobooks are a great way to get kids into reading because it's easy at first. They can listen to great, and there are a huge variety of young adult and children's books on there, and then start getting into it and then become readers through it. Audible is wonderful. So try it today. 180,000 titles. Every bestseller now comes out on Audible day and date with the hardcover. Oh, Ender's Game. That is, by the way, a great performance of Ender's Game. Beautifully, beautifully performed. That's their 20th anniversary edition. Look, it's going to be tough, but you've got to pick a book. Maybe make it two, and then that way you can get a sense of whether Audible's for you. Audible.com/twit and the number 2. Audible.com/twit2. And you know, it is the holidays. Maybe you're looking for a last-minute holiday gift. A gift of Audible. You know, you can give individual books, which is great, or you can give a subscription, but that is a great gift. My son is a huge Audible listener. He's in college right now. He's a junior in college. Always found it hard to read books, but he can listen to books. In fact, he's been listening to his assignments on Audible.com. So he just got assigned Joan Didion's book about Salvador, and he listened to it on Audible. And it was a great way for him to get his studying done while he's hoverboarding around the campus. It's great for hoverboards. Audible.com/twit2. Try it today.
Are you a Neal Stephenson fan?
Yeah.
Did you read Anathem?
I loved it.
I just finished it.
Isn't it awesome?
800 pages of what the heck.
It feels like that might be a book that's a little less accessible of all his books, but I loved it. It's about a monastery in a kind of a weird way.
In a whole different language and a different form of life. And it was.
Did you like it?
I was...
Puzzled by it?
I didn't know there's an index for the made-up words until page 100.
Well, I listened to it, so I didn't get that.
Oh, that's tough.
No, it was easy.
Let me guess, on audible.com.
Yeah.
There we go.
I love Anathema.
I love it.
You want to read his best book?
Which is?
Cryptonomicon.
I have not read it yet.
It may be the best book I ever read.
Okay.
And it's about crypto, but it's really a great novel. I think he probably deserves more praise than he's getting. It's kind of, reminds me a lot of... Gravity's Rainbow. Do you ever read that?
I was told not to.
Oh, you should read Gravity's Rainbow. Unless you don't like to be challenged.
I don't, actually. No, I'm quite lazy. Okay. Yes.
All right, well, then you shouldn't read
Challenge
it.
Is not for me.
Thomas Pynchon is one of our greatest novelists, and I feel like Neal Stephenson reached that level with Cryptonomicon.
Okay, I'll give it a try.
Just a word to the wise. Steve Jobs biography. It's good for your work, too, because there's a lot of tech stuff on there. So I'm sad. Because California has put restrictions on driverless vehicles. That means Google may end up moving its autonomous vehicle research division out of the state. Now, this doesn't matter if people don't live in California, but California is saying that they're considering an outright ban on driverless cars with no human aboard. Okay, that's fine.
I don't mind the human rule. It's the need for like a steering wheel and pedals. Exactly. Which is really limiting for the design process right now. I mean, having a kill switch or a pullover button, I get it. But this seems a little excessive to me.
The California Department of Motor Vehicles considering rules that require a licensed driver in the vehicle. The driver would have to have an additional rider on the license, autonomous vehicle operator certificate, and is capable of taking control, which means he has to sit behind the wheel. And it has to have a steering wheel, brakes, and accelerator. The main concern, according to DMV Director Gene Shimamoto, is the safety of autonomous vehicles and the safety of the public will share the road with those vehicles. This is kind of a step backward, I think.
I don't trust
the yet I want them to protect our safety, right?
For sure.
That sounds like Uber.
Yeah, but the California DMV can Uber, bite me.
That's
so.
Just what it sounds like to me.
It's kind of like a resistance. You want to preserve the status quo, resistance to anything too new.
Exactly.
It would change everything. Poor Uber. They still are fighting those fights everywhere.
They're worth $62.5 billion. You can't say poor, poor Uber.
Poor Uber.
Oh, those poor billionaires, all their money. Ugh.
What was the latest Uber issue? Oh, Austin. Austin is effectively banned Uber.
Again?
It was
over.
Yeah.
Oh, geez.
After debating more than 4 hours, the Austin City Council on Friday approved an ordinance overhauling its rules for companies that dispatch rides using smartphones. I wonder who they mean by that. All drivers will have to undergo fingerprint-based criminal background checks.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
That's not bad.
That's
okay.
Not bad.
That sounds good.
Yeah, but I mean, okay.
I've had some weird Uber drivers.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Well,
is that what they required of taxi drivers too, though?
Yes. So okay. The reason that Uber and Lyft have been sidestepping the mandatory fingerprint background check, instead doing their own proprietary background check through a private company, is that they contend that the fingerprint system is not helpful in catching or identifying potential criminals in the system, which is funny because, of course, city regulators want them to do these fingerprint background checks because it's actually something that is auditable by the city and actually by...
Make sure that they're actually doing something, in other words.
Yes. Well, it's also... It means that they're actually using a database that is public rather than a database or a system that is private. So there's a lot of push-pull between, you know, what kind of information Uber and Lyft want to give out about their drivers and how they're actually vetting the process. And if it is a public system, how does that what does that mean for liability if for some reason somebody does pass a background check and then all of a sudden they are criminal and they go out and they do something? You know, at what point is Uber or Lyft, at what point are they liable for, you know, that failure in the system?
Uber and Lyft both have said, we'll leave Austin.
Yes, because they don't want to do it, because it's easier for them to conduct all of these background checks behind the curtain.
Do you feel less safe in an Uber or a Lyft than you do in a cab? I feel I feel much more at risk in a cab.
Exactly. I feel safer in Uber and Lyft.
Me too.
I do.
Yeah, I agree with that, but I don't think
there's always incidents. There's incidents in cabs as well. So no system is, you know, completely safe. I just feel safer in an Uber. I don't know why.
Maybe it's the fact we're in Silicon Valley and we think startups run everything.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah.
Maybe that's the thing.
I mean,
but cabs are often dirty.
I just feel like if they don't go to work, they call their friend. It's like, take over my shift.
Yeah.
You know? You don't know who's driving a cab. No, you don't.
Well, I think that that's also a false comparison. I mean, I was a New Yorker, so I spent a lot of time taking cabs here and there and everywhere.
And you felt good in those.
Driver service. Well, it's what you did.
Also, if you're African American, sometimes cabs will drive right by you here.
I don't know, Leo.
You've never had that happen?
I really do not know.
You've never had that happen?
Not at all.
I have so many friends who say, I cannot get a ride in Manhattan.
Well,
they'll just go right by me. And, of course, Uber, they pick you up. Now, Uber can also reject you before, if they look at your picture.
You know, I was rejected, actually,
by
a Lyft.
By a Lyft.
And it blew my mind.
You don't look threatening, though. I mean, I have to say, if you're a black man, it might be a little bit more difficult.
The driver, I couldn't believe that he passed the Lyft background check.
Really?
He didn't speak English.
Yeah.
And I didn't understand what was going on.
Most cabbies seem like they don't speak English.
I was on the curb.
Or speak their own version of English.
It was something that I understood. Get out.
I think that
he threw you. Wait a minute! You were in the car.
Where
and he
were
threw you
was
out.
Happened?
I was in the car.
Who would throw Liberty Madison out of the cab?
You know what?
Hashtag that is BS.
I know, and I was so upset. I actually uninstalled the app.
Good for you.
But see, that's the extent.
Well, let's not high five yet. I put it back on.
But that's the extent of your ability to retaliate. If, for example, you were in a cab and they did do that to you, you could take the cab's livery number down and you could actually call. And the city of New York or the city of San Francisco.
Lyft. I did.
And
I called
happens?
Them. They wanted to apologize and investigate. I was like, I just want to let you know what happened.
Yeah, they should.
It's not fair. And
but doesn't the driver
ask me if I felt threatened for my safety?
That's
I didn't
an
feel
important question.
For my
See, that's,
safety.
That's good that they. Asked
I didn't
you
think
that
the man was going to do anything.
He was just
to
a
me.
Jerk.
Exactly. And they don't have a protocol for jerks.
But they do have a rating system, and that's the other thing I think that works well with Uber and Lyft and other systems like this. Is the rating system is a strong incentive for the driver, isn't it? That's why they always have little candies.
Yes and no. So the rating system is really strong for a driver that has just started. I mean, we're talking about someone who's maybe only had a dozen or so rides.
Because every vote counts
every
more.
Every vote counts more. So, and then it's also the same thing for if you take rides at volume and you have a rider rating. However, the difference is that it is up to the driver's discretion to take a rider with a low rating. If you have a low rating as a driver, you can get fired.
Right.
And that's it. So it really depends on how you want to look at it. So if you
they could use those ratings ballistically, giving more weight to more recent votes, that would overcome the number of vote problem.
That'd be interesting.
They could, but that would require that Uber and Lyft give transparency to the way that they have reviews and rating. And the closest I can tell is that I can ask Uber, you know, what my rider rating is, and you know they'll tell me. But beyond that,
I feel like that some of this is. Kind of a mistrust of the company, right? Mm. That mostly this comes from a mistrust, partly because of some of the jerky things that Travis Kalanick and others have said.
True.
So that we just don't trust Uber as a company. Whereas the cab, what is the cab company? I mean, did you ride an A1 yellow cab? Who did you check her? Who did you ride in? You don't know the company or care.
You don't know the company or care, but at the same time, there
They're
is
regulated.
An entire city service that is dedicated to the safety and cleanliness.
Yeah,
of
but
taxis.
How effective is that service?
Wait a minute. I mean,
it exists.
Cabs cleanliness?
It's part of what they're supposed to be regulating.
Yeah, but
this
do they?
True.
They don't.
I don't know.
I've been pretty disgusted in cabs.
I have too. New York's different. SF is a whole separate cab game.
Yeah.
But I'm curious, have you guys been tracking the expansion of Lyft and Uber's financial performance over the last year?
No, tell us about that, because I know you do a lot of finance reporting.
No, I don't have anything off the top of my head. I'm just curious if we love these services so much because they're subsidized right now by venture capital dollars. Like, I took Lyft Line everywhere I go, or Uber Pool, whatever it is.
Yeah, they're better because they don't have to make money.
But they lose money on that. I'm really curious, once they have to actually stop losing money, how much we're going to use them compared to cabs. Yeah. Because cabs, you know, maybe...
That's called the market, baby. Pricing.
No, I'm excited about
that. Take advantage of it while it's good. And as soon as it's bad, move on.
Lyft has lost so much money on me. It's amazing.
Yeah.
I'm very thankful. Thank you, VCs. It's been real.
My daughter, 23, is not a great driver. The real safety issue for her is her driving. She's had a few fender benders. And she came to me and she said, I don't want to drive anymore. I think I'm not a good driver. And I said, honey, you're absolutely right. And the truth is, I told her this, it's probably cheaper for you to take Uber, Lyft, or even cabs than it is for you to own a car, given the insurance, the gas, the cost of the car. There is an economy to taking these. And if you feel safer, I will strongly support
you. That's a trend for millennials now, and a lot of car companies are recognizing that millennials do not want to own cars.
They shouldn't have to. If you live in an urban area, New York, San Francisco, it doesn't make sense.
A parking spot in SF is $300 a month, usually.
Well, ask about New York.
I mean, it's probably even worse there. But I mean, between your math, you're totally correct. I can take Lyfts all month and save money.
Yeah.
So, boohoo Ford stock.
Yeah. Well, no, I think private car ownership may, you know, thanks to autonomous vehicles and these ride services, may be imperiled. And you know Ford's thinking about that and aware of it. In fact, I know they are. They've talked to me about it. And they want to make money selling fleets, making urban transportation, some of it electric, some of it autonomous. They understand their business is going to change rapidly and they need to reinvent it.
Yeah. I've seen them selling weekend trips.
What?
That's the only way you're going to get a millennial in a car is a weekend trip.
So I take a car for a weekend.
Oh, I get it. So the pitch is buy a car so you can take a trip this weekend.
The weekend.
The weekend. Look, weekend. Or that's interesting. Do we care about the Galaxy S7? Not really. I know you're a Samsung owner, but hear about it not at CES, which is just a couple of weeks away. I can't believe that. Are you guys going to CES?
Not anymore.
You're happy. You don't have to.
Yeah.
Come on.
CES is the worst week of the year for a tech journalist. It is the absolute
worst. Lauren, are you going?
Oh, absolutely not. No, he's totally right. CES destroys your immune system and your wallet if you go gambling at the rate that Alex goes gambling, which is a lot.
Are you a gambler?
What?
I thought anybody, frankly, who is in the tech industry would know enough about statistics to not gamble.
He loves gambling. He can employ his dork numbers to win money.
What's your game? That's the right question.
Yeah,
what's your game?
If we're at the Aria, I'll play poker.
Oh, poker? See, now that's a game of skill.
I play a lot of blackjack, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Blackjack's
it's
a good
fun.
Game.
I have a gambling
you don't
limit.
Play Wheel of Fortune.
No, I have a gambling limit. I go for a lot of fun.
Wheel of Fortune.
many things are wrong. Do you want a list? I can start.
CES is going to have significant security measures this year. In fact, I heard from somebody who said, I am not going to CES this year specifically because of the security measures.
That's the only reason?
Well, he says they're going to be onerous. They've announced that they're going to limit luggage and bags. Of course, that's a big issue because a lot of people, like journalists, bring big bags to carry their press releases. No rolling bags. Bags will be searched. Everybody will be subject to a metal detector and body pat downs upon entering show premises. Heavy or bulky clothing is not helpful, so strip down. You have a bodysuit, I think.
I don't.
Flesh colored bodysuit. You should wear
that. It's on right now. Glorious physique.
True
it's interesting.
Alex
so they're very concerned. I guess they should be, but they're very concerned about.
So CES went full TSA, essentially.
Yeah.
It went full TSA.
Which makes sense.
Never go full TSA.
Not based on any credible threats, they say.
Why they switched it from last year?
Well, there's been a few attacks since then.
Is it more dangerous now than it was last year?
Probably
just
not.
Gut check? But you don't want to be the one, you know, be asleep at the switch.
I'm
you
really
feel
opposed
dangerous?
To security theater as a general concept.
Yeah.
But I think just given the spate of stuff we've seen the last couple of months, a little more caution is not bad, as long as it doesn't infringe on privacy and so forth.
Yeah.
I'd walk through a metal detector, no worries. That's fine with me.
No, I don't mind that.
Yeah, that's...
I mean, I don't mind that.
I've got to take out like 8 laptops and 4 phones to get...
I don't
want to
be frisked.
Thing.
Not crazy about being frisked.
No, why not, Leo?
I don't know. It feels intrusive, doesn't it? It feels like it's an invasion of my space. I don't...
Okay.
I'm not crazy.
I used to wrestle, so you can't really offend me.
But yeah, see, I wouldn't wrestle for that reason.
A lot of people are a little more sensitive. I was just curious about why.
Isn't that interesting? So, in Brazil... Wow, this is really interesting. They initially decided to ban WhatsApp for 2 days.
48 hours.
Great idea.
48 hours. 12 hours in?
Nah.
Never mind.
But in the meantime, Telegram got like 6 million new users.
Yeah. Brazilian. Amazing. So what happened is WhatsApp apparently did not cooperate with the courts in providing information about a criminal court case. And so a judge said, okay, your punishment is... we're going to turn you off for 2 days, for 48 hours. Now, this is a big deal in Brazil. 93% of Brazilians use WhatsApp. Mm-hmm. It's because text messaging is very expensive, apparently, in Brazil. And so WhatsApp, and the reason WhatsApp's so successful all over the world is in areas where text messaging is expensive, it's a much better solution. So everybody uses WhatsApp. But imagine if we lived in a country where there were... the problem is the U.S. messaging systems, there's a lot of different ones. Everybody uses different ones. But what if there were one dominant messaging system and the court said, yeah, for 2 days you can't use it?
Chaos in the streets.
Nightmare.
Well, no. It what would happen is exactly what happened in Brazil, which they found the next best thing.
Yeah.
Lag time in that.
Telegram says 1.5 million signed up. You say more, right? But I guess that was...
it was more by the end, yeah.
By the end? And I guess another judge came along and said that was a terrible idea and overturned it.
I think that judge was sponsored by Telegram.
Or what's the judge? Well, you know what? The judge, in fact, it probably is the case. There's a lot of corruption that the judge was in the pockets of the telecom companies. Yeah. And that may have had something to do with the ban.
Well, talk about your backfires. You know? I mean, overreach followed by failure followed by giving up.
Yeah.
You really showed those WhatsApp users.
Yeah.
Well done, Brazilian judge.
Yeah. But it also shows you how easy it is to jump to another platform. The key on the success of these platforms, the lock-in, comes entirely from whether you can get your friends to move or your family to move. Facebook is really going all in on Facebook Messenger, don't you think? You're on Facebook right now, Lauren.
Yes.
Lauren, we're filming.
I'm looking through the slideshow that's being developed of this very show, in fact.
It's kind of difficult. By this woman here?
No.
No?
Where's Michael?
Yeah, Michael O'Donnell is doing that? You're making a slideshow?
If you're watching Twitter right now, follow @photo on Twitter. Michael is amazing.
Yeah. You know what? We don't give him enough credit. Michael O'Donnell, I've known for a long time. He came to the old Screensaver show more than any other human alive. Saw hundreds of episodes in the studio audience. And then I guess it kind of lost track of you for a while. You were about, but you've decided to start to come to every one of these shows now. So that's good. I appreciate it. And it was through Michael that we met Liberty Madison. So I'm very grateful.
Michael is the official photographer of Silicon Valley.
That's true. He is now.
He is definitely, you know,
and congratulations. Like when we first met, you were working at Radio Shack. Now I think a career at Radio Shack really has some upsides.
Unlike Radio Shack stock.
All the cables you could ever want.
The battery club alone's gotta be worth something. But no, I'm glad that he was a photographer then, but got more serious about the hobby. And now what is it? Twitter.com/photo.
Photo.
How did you get Photo?
Exactly.
They gave it to me before they launched.
You've had it since 2006?
He said they gave it to him before they launched, which is kind of a really awesome humble brag about how cool I am.
That is... I did not know that, Michael.
Best photographer in Silicon Valley.
Follow.
Oh, it's you. Look, you're in a heart.
And look, there's some magical stuff going on there.
That's also you, Liberty.
Yeah, nice, cool. Yeah. Yeah, one thing I do know about Michael O'Donnell, he does have an eye for a beautiful woman. Very good at finding those. What is going on with this? There are lots of gestures going on here. This is fun. Smile for #. Remove the lens cap. I like that. This is fun. Thank you, Michael, for posting here. That's great. I was starting to talk about Facebook Messenger. Now, let me ask you, young people, what do you use, Lauren, for messaging?
Oh, a combination between...
probably Apple's messages, right? Because you're an iPhone.
That and Facebook Messenger, sure.
And Facebook as well.
Yeah.
Same with you there, Mr. Wilhelm?
No, I don't use Facebook nearly at all. I turn off my news feed. I don't have Messenger on my phone or Facebook. I use Twitter DMs and iMessage.
Twitter DMs. That's interesting.
I'm a big Twitter fan.
Which makes him absolutely impossible to find. For instance, if you are double parked outside of his apartment trying to get to the Twit studio and he's not answering his phone, you have to DM him on Twitter. Let me tell you something,
guys. It's not a real-time communication system.
No. Did it, not real-time. It's almost like it happened today. It's almost like it happened today.
All right. Noted, but I'm hard to get a hold of by design because I want to be left alone.
So. No, I'm the same. I know what you mean.
I know what you mean.
I know what you mean. And Liberty, what do you use? You don't use Apple Messages, obviously.
I don't. I do not.
How do you message people? Text?
To contact people?
Yeah, I mean, like, do you stay in communication with people over
text?
Texting.
But I prefer text over phone calls. I don't like phone calls.
No, I love texting.
Unsolicited phone calls freak me out. So, yeah.
I would say I'm almost all texting.
All text.
Mm-hmm. And
our Twitter DM.
Twitter DM is amazing.
Yeah, Twitter DM or text.
That's a terrible way to do it.
Because then, if I Facebook message you, you want to be my friend.
No,
want to add.
But do you both have it set up so that anybody could DM you?
No.
No.
On Twitter?
You have to follow them before they could DM you.
See, on my laptop, though, I have Facebook turned off, so I have cat feed. So I don't even get my news feed.
Oh, wow.
I've
never seen that before.
What's cat feed?
It's supposed to show you a cat gif instead of your news feed, because I don't want to see what you're doing.
Wait a minute. There's a Chrome extension
called
that
cat feed.
Replaces your Facebook
news
with
feed
cats.
With cats. Yes. And therefore, I can't see if you had a kid. I don't care about your new car. I get left alone entirely from boring people's boring existence.
You're
I don't
not
care about
see
them.
Michael
don't
O'Donnell's
see
beautiful.
He's my friend.
Slideshow.
He knows where I live. Like, it's fine.
Yeah. But it also makes him incredibly difficult to speak to on a real time basis.
That's true. Sorry. I'm not sorry at all.
That's not a. Sorry, not sorry. He doesn't want to be.
Phone.
Yeah.
I'm going to reshare this.
I don't know. I find Messenger to be a pretty effective platform for one to one communication. My boyfriend actually calls me through Facebook Messenger for some unknown reason. But he, you know, like, it just makes sense. He's on an Android phone, and he switches between phones often. So Facebook Messenger is one place where we can continue to have our conversations, and they're archived, and also he can call me.
Yes, but Lauren, you actually have friends.
Can I make a plea?
This is true. I have actually many friends.
Wow. I've got, like, two, maybe.
I have no friends.
Okay, there you go.
Can I make a plea to bring us all together? Let's just all, you know, give up and all use Facebook Messenger.
I'm out of that.
No, absolutely not. Yeah. The audience agrees.
We're out.
No.
No, we're out.
And also, I really just enjoy having regular texts.
I'm getting a rebellion from the audience here.
Hello, it's Mark Zuckerberg, and I'm here to ask you to use Facebook Messenger.
Boo.
Well, what do you want to use?
Twitter DM.
No!
Twitter DM is not good.
Telegram?
Telegram.
Is that intern again?
Telegram? The choice. Yes, yeah, intern again. I use Telegram. I like the stickers. It's the choice of terrorists everywhere.
Wow.
No, it's not.
Good scaremongering on the encryption front door.
Also, Telegram got hacked like a month ago. They're not even that
secure. Yeah, turns out
their
encryption. Well, it never was. They made up their own encryption, which is never a good idea.
Are you telling me that's all I have to do in order to make dollars?
Make up your own encryption?
Yeah, I'll do it.
You can do it.
It's going to be called Glitter Encryption. And
Glitter Encryption?
Instead of getting any kind of information, you just give glitter to people. That's how it's going to work.
That's
I'm
terrible.
Working on it.
Yeah. I'm in for $10
million.
$1 million.
Someone just registered the domain.
Yes.
Yeah.
So what? I mean, the advantage of SMS is that you can reach any smartphone. So SMS is, I mean, but here in the States, most of us have plans that give us unlimited SMS. In many other areas of the world, it's expensive. It's 20 cents a message.
Yes.
So people don't use that. They use WhatsApp or whatever. But the problem is, unless we all agree on a standard platform, they're all siloed. So I can't talk to you on Telegram if you use Signal. So can't we just, we need to all pick
It's
one.
A big question in Asia where there's like Line, KakaoTalk, and so forth that's country specific.
Right.
And so you can't really go cross-border.
Yeah, it's WeChat in China. Everybody's in Japan.
WeChat in Korea and so forth, yeah.
But that's different, though, because those are national, like WhatsApp in Brazil. I mean, those are like national uses. You're not necessarily talking to someone internationally through KakaoTalk. You don't need to because 98% of the population is on KakaoTalk. You know, I think that we sort of use...
But we don't have that in the U.S.
No, we use proprietary
SMS.
Using
Viber?
My dad texted me this morning.
Nobody's using that.
So my dad's
Viber's
learned
big.
How to text.
Viber's big. Your dad just texted you.
My dad learned how to text, actually. He texted me some hot takes about the new Star Wars movie.
They're really nice. Good.
Your dad sounds cooler than my dad.
My dad was great. He said to me, and I quote, "I liked it a lot. Not pleased, with people when they saw the old characters appear the first time. Do you know much about the plot? It was annoying to have all these people clap. The movie characters were never going to hear them clap.
No, but
that was
still,
my dad's review.
It was the coolest. It was. I have to say, no spoiler again, but you want to see, if you can, see the movie with a group, and you probably will in the first few days anyway, with a group of people who are fans and a full house if possible. Because that is a good moment, isn't it? When somebody comes out and everybody goes, oh!
Except for not my dad. That's not my dad's lifestyle. He also still signs the text messages like I don't know they're from him.
Dash, dash, dad?
Dad, yeah. He'll say, how are you doing today? Dad. I'm like, Dad, you're the only person.
Does he use punctuation? Like, does he have a period at the end of sentences?
Yeah, he's nailing it. He's really learning, though, and that's like the good thing. He'll be like, did you see I texted you the other day? I'm like,
nice, Dad.
Do it.
My mom can't stop texting me. It's horrible.
Blessing and a curse, if you will.
Yeah.
She's
realized that it's pointless to email me or call me, so she writes email length text messages.
Oh, my mom does that too.
Yeah.
Like the novels that go on for like three screens.
Three screens. I
should call home more often, apparently.
I think so.
Yeah, well.
And I called mom. I talked to her twice on Friday and Saturday for
you
hours.
You are a good son. Well.
It was hard because I didn't want to yell at her. But I was trying to show her. I gave her an iPad Pro for Christmas, and she opened it early. So I was trying to show her some stuff, how to split the screen, right? And you swipe in from the edge, from the right edge. And it's hard. I agree. I understand. You got to do it just so, and it doesn't work sometimes. It's really actually dopey. Thank you, Apple. But she said there's no white edge. And I said, no, wait a minute, Mom. There, you know, the bezel. She said, no, there's no bezel. I said, you're telling me the picture goes all the way to the edge of the iPad? Yeah. I said, Mom, where's your home button? She says, it's on the edge there. I said, the white edge. No. Now, this is when I had to mute the mic and say.
You just have to let it happen.
Well, then somebody once told me, look, she wiped your butt for 2 years. Mm-hmm. She taught you how to walk. You could take a little time and help her with her iPad, right? That's hard to hear.
That's very hard to hear.
Because it's absolutely true. I don't know how she had the patience with me, but it's hard because, you know, there is. Finally, she said, oh, you mean the white bezel? Yes!
No. It's okay. It happens. One time my dad talked to me through 10 minutes trying to walk me through how to send an email attachment. And all I did, it was already done. I was waiting for him and he would just be like, so go into the file and click attach. And then you're going to see the folders. And I want you, and I am, the email is already, the attachments are already all set. What did I do? Just, yes, Daddy. Oh, look at Daddy. I found it. Great. This is great. I think I got it. Thank you.
Thank you, Dad.
Wait, you bought your mom an iPad Pro? That's pretty cool.
Yeah, I know. I'm a good son.
You're a good son.
You are a good son.
Although I love how it's a Windows 8 problem you're describing with the windowing thing.
Yeah, it's hard. Here's John Mayer. You remember John Mayer.
The guitar player.
Yeah. Talking to his dad, TMZ got him outside the concert hall trying to help his dad.
How long ago was this? John Mayer does not look like that now. What is this, 10 years old?
Yeah. He says the top left of your screen.
Top left of your screen, there's like a blue apple, right? Okay, forget that. Your hard drive. It's on your desktop. Like anything other than the Windows.
I feel like I'm listening to myself.
I know. We've all been there.
Okay, close that. There's a red dot, a yellow dot, and a green dot. Right. Close it. Okay. Now click on anything other than that dot. Find it. Good. Go into your hard drive. No. Your entourage is there. It's just not in your dock. Your dock. No, not the show with the kids, the email.
It's almost, you feel like it's made up. This is a rock star, and he's doing at one point he says, Dad, you can do this. You can do this.
I have faith in you. You can click it. The buttons in the right sequence.
Yeah, it is. This is kind of old because he doesn't look like that anymore. This is 2008 TMZ. But I, you know what? I love it because it's something we've all done. But I'm going to say something. I think your dad's probably younger than I am.
My dad just turned 61.
Oh, we're the same age.
Or, I'm sorry, he's turning 61 tomorrow.
Yeah, we're 1 year off.
Happy birthday, 62. Dad.
Happy birthday, Dad.
Go, Dads.
He's good.
Now I'm relieved.
They did the thing where he got his cake and they switched the numbers and they texted me.
He was 16.
And he's like, I'm 16. Huh? I was like, yeah, that's good. Daddy, you look great.
That's good.
We're 16.
Where does he live?
They're in Sacramento.
Oh, so they're not far.
No,
you
not
can visit
at all.
Them. You should visit them more often.
I will actually be going for Christmas. Nice. I'm the only child that's going home this year. So.
Good for you. You're the only good child.
You're the good daughter.
The good daughter.
Well, yeah.
Let's take a break. This is fun. I'm really having a blast. Lauren Hawkinson is here from The Next Web.
Hi.
Just great. At L. Hawkinson on Twitter. And Lauren Hawkinson on Instagram.
Mm-hmm. L-A-H-O-C-K on Instagram.
Oh, I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. At L-A-H-O-C-K. La Hawk.
Yes.
Was that your nickname in high school? La Hawk?
No, it wasn't. But I was called Hawk Jr. because my dad's called the Hawk.
I like it. Wow. The Hawk and Hawk Jr.
Mm-hmm.
Also with us, Alex Wilhelm from Tech, formerly, soon to be formerly of Tech Crunch.
Well, it's sad when you say it that way, but yeah.
It is. How long were you there?
About 2.5 years.
Oh, that's a long time.
It's a really good job. I love it. I really had a lot of fun.
It's a great blog. It's a great blog. But you will be still covering the tech scene, and we'll still have you on.
More from finance than the breaking news cycle, but yeah.
You know, I actually like the finance input, so we'll have you back because I like to hear the numbers. At Alex on Twitter. And brand new, and you fit in beautifully. Liberty Madison, libertymadison.com. She's hashtag that tech girl. How long have you had that?
The hashtag for at least, I would say, maybe 4 years.
Wow. Oh, it's yours now.
Definitely.
Should I be that tech guy?
You are the tech guy.
I am the tech guy.
That's too nice.
In fact, I don't own that. I've already been informed, should I ever leave the Premier Radio Networks, that they will retain the title of the tech guy. And I will be severed from my tech guy. And I
will
gotta
renegotiate that contract.
I know, it's not a good deal, but it's all right. I'm never leaving. So. That's how they keep you. They keep your brand. They got you. See, you have your own brand. You're
own
smart.
Brand.
Own the brand. It's just like Metallica. They own the tapes. You got to own your stuff or they could take advantage.
How don't you know Metallica owns their own stuff now? It's kind of a weird fan factoid. Yeah, under Blackened Records. They're new label. Yeah.
Fun fact, Alex flippin' loves Metallica.
Do you really?
I'm a huge metal fan across all different subgenres.
Hatfield just lives down the road. You want to go down and visit him?
Yeah, we'll just knock on his door and he'll shoot me with a shotgun. It'd be fantastic. Hey, James!
Actually, know him. He's a nice guy. He won't shoot you.
You know James Hatfield?
Hey, Leo, come
stop.
On
stop. No.
Okay. I don't want to talk about it. It's a personal thing.
He's going to cry now. You're going to make him cry.
This is the end of my life. I'm going to just go to the corner now and sit down.
He's actually really about to cry.
Our show, that's cute. Our show today brought to you by Gazelle. This is a very good time of year to go know about Gazelle for two reasons. Of course, you could bring your old gadgets there and get cash for them. I know you got something special waiting for you under the tree. Maybe you got something for Hanukkah, and it's time to not just throw that old gadget in the drawer, but to get the money for it. You wouldn't throw a $100 bill in a drawer to gather dust. Well, what are you doing with that old Galaxy or iPhone or iPad? Go to gazelle.com. You get a 30-day quote, guaranteed for 30 days. That gives you time to get the new device, transfer the data over, make sure everything's working, and then sell it for top dollar to Gazelle. They're really good at this. And they will, by the way, if you forget to or can't wipe your data, the reason I say can't, because they buy broken iPhones and iPads. They'll buy broken ones. So that way, if you can't wipe the data, they can do that. They also will often, and this is a weird thing, but they do it. I know because they've done it to me twice. Give you more money than they quoted if they get your device and say, you know, this is in better shape than you said. We'll give you more money. They've upped my offer twice now for a considerable amount of money. They also sell. So this is kind of cool. So they'll buy used gadgets. Remember them for that. But it's also a good place to go if you lose your phone or you break your phone or your kids lose their phones. You don't want to buy a brand new phone. But you can get a phone that's in the same condition as the one you lost, certified pre-owned. In fact, maybe better because Gazelle runs them through a very rigorous inspection to make sure everything's fully functional. There are no scratches on the screen, that kind of thing. And they're backed by a 30-day return policy, so you're never at risk. This is a good time to buy because the new iPhone is out, the new iPad is out, and so there'll be a lot of iPhones and iPads on the Gazelle marketplace for you to get a good deal. iPhone 4S through 6 Plus, iPads, the standard, the Air, the mini models, and Android phones, Samsung Galaxy phones, all for sale, guaranteed by Gazelle. You can save more money. The variety of conditions, they don't. There's no carrier contract, but they do. You could choose ones that'll work with whatever carrier you choose. I love it. It's a really great idea to buy or to sell. Gazelle. Give new life to used electronics. Trade it in for cash or buy certified pre-owned at Gazelle. Gazelle.com today. Samsung Speaking of Samsung, going to the Supremes. They paid almost half $1 billion to Apple, wrote a very big check, $548 million check. But they say they don't feel they got fairly treated in court because design patents are hard and juries can't be expected to understand the ins and outs of design patents, and a judge can't be expected to instruct them properly. So they are going to the Supreme Court. In a statement, they said, Samsung is escalating this case because it believes the way the laws were interpreted is not in line with modern times. If the current legal precedent stands, it could diminish innovation, stifle competition, pave the way for design patent troll litigation, and negatively impact the economy and consumers. It's an interesting point of view because on the one hand, you know, they lost, and it's pretty obvious that from day one, Samsung attempted to copy the iPhone right out of the box. And yet, on the other hand, is it fair to say, well, we own rounded rectangles, you know? And you know, a $548 million is not an insignificant amount of money to pay. They were going to pay almost $1 billion, but that got reduced. Is this something the Supreme Court should decide?
I just, when these large mega corporations that have tens and hundreds of billions of dollars in cash getting these kind of slap fights over smaller sums, I just don't care that much.
Yeah.
I mean,
I care because we learn stuff in the disclosures.
True.
But those are great.
But I mean, if Apple gets $500 million more dollars, they'll have $210.5 million.
Right.
Yep. No, billion big, point five. I mean, deal. Whatever. Right. Is this a suit to change how design works, or is it really a financial litigation? I'm not sure.
You know, I mean, I think they're clothing it in very, you know, universal language, but clearly sure. They just would like to get $500 million.
I mean, I would too. Don't get me wrong, but yeah. I mean, what would Apple do with that money they couldn't already do now? So are they trying to stifle Samsung's ability to actually copy their products? Maybe, but I mean, how do you actually? I'm not trying to be a hater at all, but I'm curious how you really patent some of the things they have on the design.
Well, I think that's why I like this, right? I think that this should be resolved in the Supreme Court.
Definitely, without a doubt.
And yet, somebody pointed out, and it's true, for instance, the Galaxy S7, we think will have something very similar to Force Touch in your iPhone 6s. It's some sort of pressure 3D touch kind of thing. And somebody pointed out, Samsung knows they're copying. Everybody knows they're copying. But the way the legal system works, the length of time it takes to get that resolved, Samsung will make so much more money than they will lose in an adverse decision that it's worth just copying.
Oh, for sure. Financially, it makes a lot of sense from that angle, yeah.
And that makes Apple mad.
Well, it makes a lot of sense, right? So you have a situation where you want to create like a proprietary phone. But as we know, when it comes to technology patents and the people who hold them, that probably if you've thought about it before, I mean, computers are patented. The electronic communication systems are patented. Photo distribution systems are patented.
But design patents are a little different. Design patents are not the same as invention patents.
Yes and no, but they work in the same manner, right? So you have a situation where if somebody claims ownership, whether that's a hardware or a software or a feature or a trademark, whatever it is, they claim ownership of it and they sue them, right? So what you have is a situation where Apple is trying to put some distance between them and Samsung and say, like, oh, well, in the US, the way that we do things here is that you are going to get dinged for every time you try to copy us. And Samsung may or may not care, but it's just that ability for Apple to be put on essentially the right side of this argument to sort of say, like, we have a right to keep
Samsung. So it's not about the money.
It's not about the money. And the other thing is that, you know, Samsung is a Korean company and Korea does patents and inventions in a completely different way. And they might not even care.
It used to be that the patent system, you had to bring a model. Like, you invented the steam engine. You have to bring to the patent inspector a model of a working steam engine. Say, see, this is what I invented. And they keep that on file. But then what happened, and it fairly recently, was patents got extended beyond that to software patents and design patents. And that's a little bit harder to evaluate and prove. And I think Samsung's point is well taken. A jury shouldn't be expected to understand the subtle nuances of a design patent.
The Supreme Court's average age is like 78.8 years. So are they going to do a better job being technologists?
They're not making it. I think that in the long run, what they're not going to be asked to do is make that decision on that particular design patent. I hope not. But on the notion that a design patent is a legitimate thing.
I think they vote yes on that. They're quite conservative.
I think they probably will.
As a body.
Although they've been interested of late. They've been kind of interesting in the surprising ways they've
been better than usual.
Yeah.
Or better than before, at least.
Tonight, 60 Minutes, Apple will be on. Tim Cook will be interviewed, and apparently he loses his cool on 60 Minutes. He's being interviewed by Charlie Rose.
Oh, I love Charlie Rose.
And Charlie, well, you know, let's face it, 60 Minutes is not famous anymore for being confrontational. I mean, they, you know, when Jeff Bezos granted them an interview and Charlie Rose walks in and goes, wow, this drones. Is amazing, a drone.
It's been PR'd to hell.
It was, yeah. However, in this case, I think it's interesting. Charlie goes after Tim Cook over Apple's international tax strategy. So this, of course, is Apple has a significant amount of money offshore, money that they, in interesting ways, but fully legal, channel out of the United States. For instance, Google does this too. Mm-hmm. In this case, I can never get these right. It's the Irish turnaround and the Dutch sandwich.
It's the mm-hmm. double Dutch with an Irish sandwich, I think.
It's something like that. Yeah. So what they've done is you open a branch in Ireland where the corporate tax rate is low and it's very favorable. Zero,
I think it's zero.
And you transfer the patents and the intellectual property to this Irish subsidiary and then the money and then license it back from them. Mm-hmm. So then, in order to make your iPhone, you have to pay the Irish subsidiary its license fees, thereby offshoring profits to a zero tax country. And then there is something going on with the Indonesia.
You move around to Holland and back and forth. Yeah, I wrote a post on this once. It took like 3 days to figure out.
Yeah.
But the gist is, haha, no taxes. Yeah.
And Apple's done this so successfully that they've parked $181 billion overseas. But to be fair, every company does this because it's legal.
This is just good business practice.
Right.
Or it's just bad tax policy. Yeah. But, I mean, they're not going to lose money on purpose.
Charlie Rose asks him about this. Remember that Cook had to testify before a Senate subcommittee a few years back through, this is Philip Elmer DeWitt writing, 2 hours of grandstanding and name-calling by the politicians responsible for the rat's nest that is the U.S. tax code. Cook said, this is a tax code, Charlie, that was made for the industrial age, not the digital age. It's backwards. It's awful for America. It should have been fixed many years ago. It's past time to get it done. Subtext, but meanwhile, we're going to take advantage of this as long as we can.
I mean, who can blame them for trying to make more money?
It's legal.
Right, exactly. Yes. It's legal.
Apple actually borrows money in the U.S. to pay dividends and buy back shares because it's cheaper to borrow money here at like 2% than to repatriate cash at 35%.
40%. Corporate tax. 40%. So, in fact, he got Cook to say that the reason that $181 billion is parked overseas is because Apple, that's the largest amount of any U.S. company, so it's appropriate to focus on Apple. Even
sure.
Google and Facebook do it too. Apple doesn't want to pay, and Cook admitted this, 40% in the taxes it would cost to repatriate it.
Surprise. Who thought he did? I mean, who was like, oh, he really wants to bring it back. It's all tied up in accounts. No, and he, obviously not. It's such a huge penalty.
Rose read, quoting from the Senate subcommittee's report, this quote, which really pissed off Tim Cook. And you're going to watch this for this on 60 Minutes tonight. Apple is engaged in a sophisticated scheme to pay little or no taxes on $74 billion. It's now much more than twice that, of revenue held overseas. Cook responds, that is total political crap. Apple pays for every tax dollar we owe. Well, yeah, nobody's saying they didn't. And he pointed out we pay more than anybody, of course, because they're worth more than anybody. They have more to pay.
Did Tim Cook just shout for like the first time ever? Like
that's Tim is so laid back.
I know.
But I want to watch this tonight, so.
That's, let's go home right now, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's airing on the East Coast right now.
Shoot. That just got everybody to tune out.
Bye, everyone. It's been real.
Yeah. Hope you enjoyed this episode of TWiT. Go watch 60 Minutes.
A ringing endorsement. Charlie Rose, next on.
That's
TWiT.
Why I, by the way, saved that story for the very last story of the show.
Smart man.
Hey, you guys are great. Will you come back and do this some more?
Sure, definitely.
I am enamored of you. Even that guy.
No, nobody likes him.
No, I know. It's hard to believe.
It's true. No one does.
Yeah. So, Alex Wilhelm, TechCrunch. What's the new company?
Mattermark. I'll be at mattermark.com/blog, I think, as of the 4th of January.
So you'll be blogging, in effect.
Yeah, I'm still writing. I'm still writing quite a lot. Just
in a way, this is going to be your own place.
That's the whole idea, I think. But I haven't started yet, so I'm hoping that I'm not going
to. So you won't have a big team? It'll be
It's me for now, but I think I get to. Well, I don't. Let me start the job.
I look forward to this. I think
I don't want to get on my skis.
You know what? This is as good as TechCrunch is. originally it was a bully pulpit for Mike Arrington.
Sure.
And it was a personal blog and it was his voice. And I liked it for that reason. I think it's really what TechCrunch's reputation was made. I think you deserve, because you're as
careful now.
You're as careful. As exciting as Mike Arrington is. You deserve a place where it can be the Alex Wilhelm show. I think this is great. I hope it is.
It'll be the Mattermark.com show. But yes, I will do my best to not screw it up entirely.
Don't you think he deserves his own bully pulpit?
I think he already has one. It's called Twitter.com.
Oh, is that where he pulpit size?
Mm-hmm.
He sermonizes?
Mm-hmm.
It's where I ramble, is what
she's
saying.
Where he talks about nerd numbers and bourbon. And
I can't do the Twitter.
By the way, for the audience out there, there's no bourbon in the Twitter office right now.
What? Yeah. Oh, there's tons of bourbon. You should have told me something that.
Oh. I had to drink tequila all show,
get him some
which
bourbon?
Is a war crime.
What kind of bourbon you want?
I don't care.
You know what? The Angel's Envy is quite good.
I love Angel's Envy.
Okay. We have that. We have Blanton's.
Now you're welcome back.
We have Blanton. We have Bullet. We have all kinds of bourbon.
Oh, well, it's not in the kitchen.
It's in my office.
Oh, okay.
Of course it's not in the kitchen.
He was rooting around your cupboards like a little bourbon gnome trying to find where you keep the good stuff.
You have brought the shade today, Elhawk.
You were drinking rye last time here.
No, tequila.
Oh, I thought you had a rye.
Maybe I did, but
you
did. It's all gone, whatever it was.
I've been so out of this conversation.
We have some Black
Folks,
Bush. We have all
spoiler,
sorts of stuff.
He's been drinking the whole time.
Oh, yes.
Actually, that's scotch, isn't it?
Spoiler alert. Simmer down.
You two are like brother and sister in like a little rivalry going on.
Yeah, but I'm the younger brother. She just punches me a lot.
You're not but you're older than me. How's that possible?
She's punching you with her little wiener fingers. It's okay. It doesn't hurt.
Oh, here we go.
Here we go. There's some Bullet. There's some Blanton's. Here is some more Bullet.
It's a Christmas miracle.
Congratulations, Alex. I'm going to the dark side.
Woodward, that Woodward is very good. The Wood Reserve. Have some of that.
Thanks,
little Orphan Barrel.
Orphan Barrel's fantastic too.
Yeah, he's now a happy boy.
Yeah.
He's got a bottle with a horsey on it.
It's true.
Laura. Huh? Lorna. Lorna.
You all right?
Oh, man. I need to get a new job.
Woodford Double Oak.
Oh, wow.
That's what he
weeks.
Went with, by the way.
That was the joke, Lauren. Yeah. Thank you for making it for me.
Can I get you anything?
I've got water.
Oh, that's good.
That's
a smart thing to drink. Lauren Hawkinson is, of course, with The Next Web, and it's great to have you.
Yeah, it's wonderful being here.
And come back and do the new screensavers and be around and just be part of our family. Because unlike that guy, we really like you.
Oh, thank
no,
you.
I love you both.
You can't offend me, man. It's all good.
No, I love you both. And you, Liberty Madison, rock and roll, that tech girl, please, you have an open invitation. Come back as often as you want. Considering this is your first time and you didn't really know what to expect, you did fantastic. You did fantastic considering nothing, but it's nice. I mean, that's hard to do. I know. It's a little imposing.
Well, thank you so much for inviting me, Leo. It was fun.
Good to have you. LibertyMadison.com. Not to be confused with that other Madison. And you keep all your sign-up records completely confidential, I'm sure.
Definitely.
We do I'm just teasing. We do Twit every Sunday afternoon, 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 2300 UTC. I hope you'll watch live, be in the chat room. I forgot to mention tomorrow on Triangulation, 11 a.m. Pacific, we're going to interview the guy who wrote this book, The Maker's Guide to the Zombie Apocalypse, Simon Monk. Will help you take charge of your environment, escape imminent danger, communicate with other survivors. It's the book that needed to be written. Surviving the Zombie Apocalypse by Making Great Stuff. And don't forget, we had a great new screensavers yesterday, our Star Wars episode, Zero Spoilers. Just like on this show, Zero Spoilers. We did talk to Devinder Hardwar / Filmcast. And if you're a Star Wars fan, you probably know already about the despecialized edition, the attempt to get back to the original 1977. We talked to the guy who's doing it, Harmy. Peter Harmacek joined us, explained some of the techniques he used. We'll also talk to NORAD about the Santa Tracker. So it was awesome. We were going to do a new Screensavers marathon on Christmas Eve, starting Christmas Eve, because I think it'll go all the way through Christmas Day. How many hours do we have? 50 hours. So 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern time, 1900 UTC on December 24th and going through Christmas Day. John Slanina, our great studio manager, figured out that if you took all of the new Screensavers episodes and stacked them end to end, it would get to Christmas, end of Christmas Day. So that's going to be fun. More than that, get to Boxing Day. Yeah, that's awesome. next Sunday, our holiday show. Again, we pre-recorded it, but you can see that with Owen, J.J. Stone, Paul and Storm, Dick DiBartolo, and musical guests, the Deanaholics, the Rat Pack Revived. You would like these guys.
I don't know if that's true.
Yeah, he likes metal. I thought
I like jazz and so forth.
Oh, next year we'll get a Metallica tribute band in for you.
I would be very much in favor of that.
That would be fun, wouldn't it?
I wear my Slayer T-shirt and like shave my head.
Slayer, baby,
fantastic.
If you have not yet subscribed to Twit, it would do me a great service if you did. We'd appreciate it. And you can do that anywhere. It doesn't matter where you do. Just subscribe on iTunes or on the Apple TV apps. There's four of them now. The Roku app, TiVo, whatever it is you use to watch or listen to podcasts. Just get it every week because this is a great show and it's always interesting. Thank you, everybody, for being here. Thank you to our amazing studio audience. If you want to be in the studio audience, you can meet Mike O'Donnell. Maybe he'll even take a picture of you. It's tickets at twit.tv. Email that. Thanks for being here. We'll see you soon. Another Twit and Merry Christmas is in the can. Bye-bye, everybody.